Blog Talk Radio.
And we're going to have to come to the grips with the fact that they told us exactly what they were going to do. They wrote a document called the Project for a New American Century.
Don't ever say I didn't warn you. That's about all one can do. Anything these creatures tell, the opposite is probably true. But every day their grip is getting stronger. We must not prune the tree of evil any longer. Every day the tyrant's getting closer. Will you sit back and watch?
What can I get with 2.3 trillion? When does a citizen become a civilian? When did the heroes morph into the villains? How can two planes powderize three buildings? These are questions that could get you murked. Politically, socially, physically put into the dirt. Many swear that there's some kind of conflict of interest within. The conflict depends upon what you're interested in. You can chant 9/11 was an inside job all day until you say the Mossad and pay closer attention to Flight 175 and the odd cylindrical pod beneath the fuselage. Then it's 2 plus 2 level addition after you factor in the flight termination system. Then flash back to the cash the good rabbi stole. September 10th style right down the rabbit hole.
What can I get with 2.3?
You can get unlimited corporate news.
What can I get with 2.3?
You can have any mercenaries you choose.
What can I get with 2.3?
You can steal a couple million souls.
What can I get with 2.3?
You can get everything under control. The missile they hit the Pentagon with was not an act of randomness. It murdered accountants, bookkeepers, and budget analysts. That side of the building was retrofitted prior to this to withstand bomb blasts, the nickname the Catcher's Mitt. If that don't give you some kind of clue why they blew the mortar, maybe you should take some medication for your new disorder. If buildings are burning, don't ever trust a news reporter with 267 stories of gruesome slaughter. Don't ever mention Dov Zakim and trillion stolen, much less missile equipped Boeing's even remote controlling with system planning. Corporation International, the folks to see if you got some buildings you'd like to crash into. But that's impossible without the proper capital. That's why I'm asking you what you would do with unimaginable wealth. So much money you can't delve in it. Enough to buy 10 presidents and 12 senators.
What can I get with 2.3?
You can get unlimited corporate news. That's right.
What can I get with 2.3?
You can have any mercenary you choose.
All night. What can I get with 2.3?
You can steal a couple million. So
indeed,
you can get everything under control.
Now that's greed.
Thank you.
everybody. Welcome to the ABC show this Friday evening. Here, what is this, April 12th? I put in a topic for today, and I want to try to spend some time talking about it. I debated about whether I wanted to spend time with that as a subject, because it can easily be divisive. And I've spoken about it for a number of times, trying to describe how the topic of race is used to create division amongst the population, and how that plays into this global agenda. But, you know, so often we just devolve to the tribalism. You know, this is the reason that your side did this, and this is the reason that my side did this. You know. And it almost seems kind of pointless to try to address it substantively. But I don't know, the past week or so, some different stories have come up, and you know, watching some of these jerk offs on Blog Talk, that, you know, we talk about Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton as being poverty pimps or race baiters. And, you know, they may be. I'm not going to spend a bunch of time demonizing them. That's one of the problems that I have. I see people doing that. You know, you want to spend time demonizing people like Sharpton or Jesse Jackson. You know, I spent some time over on this other show, and you got these niggas over there. A couple of them are niggas. They spend all their time demonizing Sheryl Jackson Lee and Maxine Waters. You know, it's that kind of stuff that I just want to cuss somebody out, you know. Because the people who are being held up as these race baiters who are so divisive and blah, 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 these people don't have any power. And what I mean is, they don't have the power of the media. They barely have power to organize amongst the black population. You know, there's a lukewarm acceptance of them. But these are the people who are held up, and, you know, they keep getting pushed out. And look at this, look at this, look at this. And, you know, I see that, and I just see dummies. And I ain't talking about Maxine Waters and Al Sharpton and them. I'm talking about the jerk-offs, the niggas and the racists, the niggas and the crackers that spend all their time talking about them. They're stupid. And the only reason that I would spend some time talking about them is because even on Little Blog Talk, which has, you know, I would say a relatively smaller audience, you know, compared to the mass media. But there are a lot of us that spend time on Blog Talk. You know, there's different subjects, different stuff to talk about, and it's interesting. You know, we're hearing the people. But even on this little show, or this little network, well, I'm talking about Blog Talk, on Blog Talk, you got these people who spend a lot of time on this stuff. And the thing is, there's nothing of substance coming from them. These people here on Blog Talk, the different shows, that you'll see, you know, over and over again, they bring up stories about race. And you know, you got niggas on here who, no matter what story it is, what subject it is, if a black person's involved, they spend all their time demonizing that black person. These people are, you know, whether it's intentionally or unintentionally, they're agents. Agents of division. You know, and what I think it is they're so stupid and programmed that it's on automatic. You know, they don't have to be controlled anymore. They just, they're programmed. They automatically fall back to race to promote the division. And, you know, it concerns me, and I talk about it because things are just too serious. You know, the wars our rights, our health, you know, GMO foods, chemtrails. And I know that I don't spend as much time talking about that stuff. I talk about it some, but I don't spend as much time as a lot of other people. But we're under attack from all corners, from all different directions, and it's hard to stay focused on what's happening to us, what's happening to this country. But when you got these opportunists and race baiters who come on the Blog Talk shows and promote, you know, racial stories, you can tell, and I mean this honestly, you listen to some of these people, and you can tell that they spend their time on the internet searching for stories that are involved with race. And I say that because, number one, many of the stories that they bring up to discuss are, what's the word, you know, you wouldn't know about it unless they brought it up. It's like some black guy mugged some white lady in Poughkeepsie, Kansas City or something. You know, I mean, people get mugged every day, all day. But this is a black guy. And they make it a point to say, hey, you know, this black guy did this, a black guy did this. And then they do this, this childlike way to cover their ass. They'll do that, and they'll say, yeah, this black guy did this to the white lady, and all that. Look, you know, I mean, stop with the race stuff. We need to stop this race stuff, and, you know, we're all Americans. You know, we need to stop talking about race so much and think as Americans. And then they go back to, so anyway, this black guy. Well, this stuff just drives me crazy. And, you know, I saw a story today. Ken Burns has come out with a new movie that's going to be airing, I think, next week about the Central Park Five. I've got a link. I'll give it to you. But it's about these, and this happened back in the 80s or something, where some white lady was mugged in Central Park. And they arrested these five teens. I think it was three blacks and two Hispanics or something like that. But, you know, everybody's brown, right? You know, black people. American blacks and Hispanics. Brown people. So they were arrested for having raped her and mugged her or something like this. And she was, I guess she was injured pretty bad because she didn't have much of a memory when she came back. You know, when she came to, I think she might have been in a coma for a few days or something, or she was just really messed up. And when she came out of it, she couldn't really, you know, speak too much to who did what or what they looked like or nothing like this. But the police told her, yeah, we arrested these five guys and they did it. Well, bottom line, they were arrested. They were charged and found guilty, and they spent time in jail, like 20 years or something, 13 years. But sometime later, and I don't know how long it's been now, but they had the whole DNA thing, and come to find out that they didn't do it. Well, besides that, there's a serial rapist who confessed to it. So between the DNA and the confession, these now grown men were let out of jail. And, you know, that got me to thinking again about how this race stuff just plays into the division. You know, as long as there's injustice and bigotry and prejudice and two different judicial systems, then we're going to have, you know, this race issue will stay. And the question is, you know, how should we be responding to this stuff? I think everybody knows how we should, but how do we? So I want to spend a little bit of time talking about this. You know, I'm kind of going to start from the beginning. And, you know, I got a couple of stories, but I don't know how much time I'm going to spend on the stories. I just want to talk this out some. And I'm not going to, you know, I'm, 20 minutes. I'm going to talk about this some, and then I'm going to go to a break. And when I come back, you know, the phones are open, and I'll take any calls. And maybe we'll spend an hour or so on this subject and just move on. But the bottom line is, you know, I think that what's occurring in this country, separate from the race issue, this whole thing with the police state and the government coming after us citizens. I see everybody's posting now on Facebook about the 16 Republicans that joined with the Democrats for gun legislation. You know, none of this is a surprise. It really is not. It's not. But if you're one of these jerk-offs, one of these assholes that plays in the mud, pumping up these stories about race, or pumping up these stories about the Muslims out to get us because you a bigot against their religion. You know, just hateful stuff is all it is. If you're one of those people, yeah, you're surprised. Man, well, these Republicans, call them. Here's the phone numbers. We need to call them. And that's wrong. We're going to vote them out. You say that every election. You know, those are the people. Anybody that says that, turn them off or don't listen to what they're saying. Because those are the race baiters, the peddlers, the ignorant people who don't understand anything, that promote division and confusion among us, the citizenry. So, you know, I just walked in. I was out mowing the lawn. And I just want to take a quick break and then come back and talk a little bit more about this issue of race and how it's working against us and how we really, you know, everybody knows we need to get off this or get past this. But what we need is some grown-ups. We need grown-ups around here is what it comes down to. So I'm just going to take a quick break and I'll be right back.
Hello, everyone. Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now, as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house, and Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants. I just love the taste of it, and this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic. Great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com. And check it out and order it. Silver Leaf Tea.
Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life. Shade, the motion picture. A view into the globalist domain. Annabella Semperma's film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
We have to let them know that their world government has been identified, and they thought they just clawed the world economy, bring in a worldwide police state. But instead, it's going to bring them down.
You have to stand up, speak up, speak out.
Shade the Motion Picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at ShadeTheMotionPicture.com.
Hey everyone, this is Ron from Ron's Media Matrix on the Freedomizer Radio Network. Be sure to catch my show broadcast here every Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And if you're listening in another part of the world, that's 1800 to 2100 hours. Greenwich Mean Time. We're here covering breaking world news, current geopolitical trends, keeping you up to date on the latest science and technology, along with interviewing a wide range of guests, versed in a variety of special topics, and that's not all. Freedomizer Radio broadcasts 15 hours a day, 7 days a week, with other talk show hosts that cover a wide variety of topics, including health, current events, emergency preparation, spiritual interests, and much, much more. So be sure to stay tuned. And at www.freedomizerradio.com. That's www.freedomizerradio.com. And if you're away from your home computer, you can always listen to us on your cell phone by calling 347-324-3704. That's 347-324-3704. And thanks for listening.
Okay, we're back. And let me start off by saying, and I mentioned this in my little write-up that I put on the front page of Blog Talk, description for today's show. The last sentence that I put in that paragraph talking about this subject is I questioned whether this tool that is used, racism, whether it's losing its effectiveness. And honestly, I think that it is. You know, as to the reasons why, I think it's kind of mixed. You know, if these devils wanted it to be the tool that it's always been, then they control the media. So they inflame these passions and divisions, and I think that they can, and they do. I mean, they still do it, but on the other hand, I think these young people, the whole thing with integration, you know, where we are different peoples are working together, going to school together, interacting more, you know, we see each other and we find out that, you know, these people ain't really different. And then with the internet and technology, you know, we're able to reach beyond just the mass media, the bullshit that they've given us. So, you know, I think that it's truly possible that it's this tool has gotten a little old and it's not quite as effective. However, very important to say that it's still effective. And just to kind of start from the beginning, I've said this before. When I started my show, you know, almost 2 years ago here, the first few shows I talked about the tools of the Illuminati. You know, I almost named my show something along the lines of the Illuminati's toolbox or something like this. And the point was that they control and manage us using different devices. Race is a big one because it inflames the passions and it goes to the core of, you know, humanity as far as justice, freedom, and everything that, you know, your religion teaches you about, you know, how to treat people the way you want to be treated and respect the people and love and all this kind of stuff. Well, you know, the whole racism goes against all that, so it inflames a lot of passions. And you know, when people are put on the two sides, one is seen as the perpetrator and the other the victim, then, you know, you kind of get hardened into that role. You know, the victim is very much the one that perceives himself as a victim, very much distrustful of the one that's designated the perpetrator. And then the perpetrator, or the one that's designated the perpetrator, is very frustrated and fed up with being perceived as this evil asshole that is committing this injustice. So, you know, that perpetrator, the one that designated perpetrator, will lash out. And the bottom line is, it's all emotional. And once you get emotional, it's just, you know, it's off to the races. It's like that horse has left a barn and it's just hard to pull it back in. So that's why it's a very big tool of these devils. While you doing all of that, they can give their buddies bailouts in the billions and trillions of dollars. They can give each other subsidies. They can commit crimes and, you know, it never get investigated. Justice never applied. You know, they can continue to live like the oligarchs that they are without real concern that you might rise up and say, what the hell is this? You know, why am I paying all this taxes and all this kind of stuff? And, you know, you doing all this dirt. You ain't doing nothing to earn it except cheat people. I'm down here arguing with this guy about whether or not he is hateful or not. I don't even know him. He don't know me. But he calling me a lazy, stupid ass, and I'm calling him a evil racist. You up there living high on the hill. Well, you know, I think it probably sounds real simplistic, but honestly, that's the way it works. This is my take on it. And race is just one of the tools. When that one gets old or, you know, it's getting to be overused, you know, they can go into the religion thing. You know, the Christians and the Muslims or the atheists and the Jews or whatever. You know, my God's bigger than your God and all this kind of crazy, stupid stuff. That doesn't work. They can play the nationalism card, you know. We're number one. This is the greatest country on earth. And if you don't like it, go somewhere else. And all this kind of stupid shit. They got the sex card, men against women. And, you know, if a guy wants a woman that's feminine and ain't trying to do everything that he's doing, then he's a sexist. And if a woman, you know, wants to be treated with respect. She's a feminist. They just play us off of each other left and right. You know, between those tools that they use to keep us occupied and distracted, and the garbage on TV where, you know, it's just, somebody called it something like brain candy or something. You know, Jerry Springer and "You Are Not the Father" and all that kind of shit. Between those things, we're just, somebody said this before. No, Doc DLB told me this, but I guess one of these guys, it may have been Bernays or somebody, talked about bread and circuses. But, you know, that's how you pacify the masses. Give them just enough food and keep the circus going. Then they ain't that hungry, so, you know, they're halfway satisfied as far as that goes. And then the circus will keep them distracted and entertained. And this is what happens. So, you know, race is but one of the tools that these people use to keep us distracted and divided so that we don't pay attention to what they're doing. And I'm going to come back to that in a second. But as I said, these other ones, religion and nationalism, there's a couple of different ones that they use that just kind of keeps it going, right? Well, recently, well, let me just say this. One of the things that really has pushed this issue about race in recent times is the election of President Obama. You know, historic. Yeah, we know. Is historic. We know. It's like Chris Rock said, black people too happy, white people too mad. He was talking about the O.J. Simpson case. But it's the same thing with Obama. You know, black people all just crying and dancing in the streets and shit. Too happy. Yeah, you know, it's historic. You know, like that's the end all and be all of life. It's historic. Nobody knows who the guy is. He talks well, as that one politician said. Somebody, some white politician said that he talks well. He got into trouble. Because, you know, it was kind of like intentional or unintentional. It implied that, you know, it's like, what did you expect him to talk like? You know, yo, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, first black president. He looks good, young guy, sharp, you know, speaks well, supposedly went to Harvard, you know, got a family, wife, two kids. Hey, you know, the package looks good. It's historic. So, you know, everybody got caught for the rope-a-dope. Black people and white people. But obviously, it being the first black president, black people just went crazy about it. There you go. Got him. And the point about this is this cabal that controls the government, already controlled the government before he came in, especially controlled it under Bush. But, you know, they've been in there for a good long time. If you want to have some idea of how long has AIPAC controlled the government? That'll give you some sense of how long they've been in control. But these people put Obama into office, and they knew what they were getting. They knew how he could be used. And I said from the beginning that he was elected primarily because he's black. Because, you know, everything else is out the window. That's all you're looking at. So, you know, you got people on the left as extreme as that Obama phone lady. You know, Obama's elected, I ain't got to pay my bills and all that stupid shit. But then you got the extremist dummies on the right, the racist assholes, who, you know, Obama sneezes and, look, did you see him sneeze? That ain't presidential. You know, he's walking to the car and, look at how he walk. That ain't how a president's supposed to walk. Hey, he took a limousine to the store. That cost us $1,000. You know, as if all of this is new. As if no president's done this stuff before. So between the stupid blacks that defend them no matter what, and the stupid whites that attack them no matter what, the division is built in. That's what you get when you hire, especially a black, as president. Not when you hire, when you put a black in as president. It's built-in division. I ain't saying that, you know, black shouldn't be president. I'm just saying that these people, when they put them in the office, they knew, I mean, this was the point. Put him in there, the people will say, so divided with each other, blacks and liberals defending Obama and racists attacking him for everything, that we can get all kind of stuff passed. And the bottom line is he has done a lot. That healthcare bill that they've been trying to pass for however long, he was able to do it. How the hell could he do it? He ain't got any resume that shows he's got some kind of skill in this kind of stuff, but he got it done. You know, he said he's going to close Guantanamo. He didn't close it. You know, he gave a bailout like Bush gave a bailout. All these people have been foreclosed on. Unemployment got real high. All of this stuff. And he got reelected. How did that happen? It happened because he's there for a purpose. And the purpose is that it keeps everybody divided. So it's back again to the race issue. You know, his race is why he's there. So that's one of the things that I called out from the beginning. I never voted for him. And I honestly didn't have like pride in it that he was elected. I will say that I did have feelings hearing some of these racists attacking him on everything that, you know, man, we got some dumbass white racists out there. They're just dumb as a bag of rocks. And I felt the same way with that Obama phone lady. Ah, man, we got some dumb black folk out there. So that's Obama. The whole 911 thing, and I ain't going over 911 again, but the enemy being the Muslims, you know, you got a twofer on that one, two for one. Got religion and brown people. So you're going to have a racist come out. They love to hate. You know, he's brown and he's a Muslim? Oh, hell yeah, he's evil. Let me tell you, the Quran says this, and it. They hate. And they do all the work. They're the workhorses. They're the ones that keep this war on terror alive. You know, these are the same people that spend their time on the internet looking up stories to back up or validate their hatred. See, here's a story. Some Muslim guy killed his wife because he thought she was sleeping with somebody else. They're hateful. It's in the Quran. This kind of shit. My feeling is that very many of those people that spend their time talking that stuff are simply racist. You know, there's some what is it, some Chechens or Bosnian Muslims or something. And they was hating on them because they're Muslims, but that was way over there, and you didn't get all these pictures, and it wasn't this big war on terror back then. But when 9-1-1 happened, obviously, you know, 9-1-1 was a big thing. But before anybody asked about, now, wait a minute, how the hell did they, 3-4 planes at once, and where was NORAD, and how come we didn't know about, before any of those questions could be asked, everybody jumped on the bandwagon of hating these people. Why? It's like Dr. Evil. Again, it's a twofer. You can hate on their religion and the brown people from way over there. So the racists just jumped on that. Again, you know, race played a big part of that. Right now, we've been going to war over there, but Afghanistan, Pakistan, all these people, brown people, killing them left and right. And, you know, they're hating on the religion. This country, West, has got a war against Islam is what it is. It just happens to be those Ashkenazi Jews and Israel's enemies. And it turns out there are enemies now, too. So what a surprise. But many Americans fall in line with it. You fell in line with it, and you fall in line with it because look at them. They brown, you white, they Muslim, you Christian. Again, it's just, you got a twofer. Using two of the tools out of the toolbox at the same time. So that's the war on terror. Well, one more thing about all of that is these crime stories that pop up in the news. You know, I was listening to these niggas on this other show talking about the Trayvon Martin case. And I say niggas because it was, some black guys that spent all their time defending Zimmerman and talking about how Trayvon Martin was a thug and, you know, no limit nigga or something with some, his club name or some shit. You know, he's wannabe thug and he had a Facebook page and this and that. All this kind of shit. But that was their defense of Zimmerman. And then also they argued that these niggas, the ones on Blog Talk, they used to argue the stand your ground rule when, you know, even the people that made that rule said it wasn't intended for this kind of thing, so that wasn't going to work. But after Zimmerman came out, well, his people, and said they're not going for that, now they changed up, the niggas on Blog Talk changed up the attack. Now they defending Zimmerman saying, you know, well, he didn't break any laws by getting out of his car. And if he confronted this guy, it's his right as American. You can't stop him from doing, you know. Again, these niggas spending their time trying to defend. And it ain't about Zimmerman being white or something like that. You know, I guess he's Hispanic and Jewish or white and Jewish or whatever, Hispanic and something. But it's about hating on the black guy. That's what niggas do. They defend the white master and hate on black folk. They're Uncle Ruckus types. But the point about that is that you got a few of these niggas on Blog Talk, a few different shows, where they spend their time defending white folk and hating on black folk. And this is actually what kind of stirred me up to do the show in the first place. I mean, it got me thinking about it. And then today I saw the story about the Central Park Five. And I just thought about how the media and these niggas and cracker racists and just dumb people keep this stuff alive. They fuel it. They fuel the issue of race. so that it just stays. It doesn't die out. It's like if you got a fire, you ever been camping and, you know, flame starts dying out and you got to go get some more twigs or something to throw on the fire to keep it burning. Well, the niggas on Blog Talk and the crackers, the white crackers on Blog Talk, they're the twigs that just keep on coming on, you know. They come on regularly to keep that flame going. And it's hard to resist, you know. You hear them spewing their filth and hatred and dividing people. And not only that, but spewing injustice, you know, defending injustice, defending the system. And it's hard not to get pulled into that. But this is what keeps us trapped. Keeps us trapped in this prison, this police state, to where, like I said earlier, a lot of people out there, maybe a lot of you, are suddenly surprised that, you know, the Second Amendment is, that's in the Constitution. You know, the conservatives understand this. The Republican Party understands this, surely. You know, how could we have these 16 Republicans turn coat and jump on that bandwagon? You know, you're surprised. Well, that's because you're caught up in the daily division that the niggas and the crackers put out there. The racists and the dummies. The shit that the media puts out there and keeps showing you the face of the black criminal. They don't show you the face of the white criminal. They keep giving you the statistics about black poverty or crime. They don't tell you the statistics about white poverty or crime. You know, I dropped a couple of links in the chat room. There's one of these. I'm not going to read through it or nothing. I'll drop the link in there again. But this one said the New York Police Department officers testify that stop and frisk policy was driven by a quota system and race. You know, that kind of injustice where people are being targeted and not getting fair shake, fair treatment by the government. It's like Martin Luther King said, when that kind of thing is allowed to persist, then we all lose. You know? And again, you wonder why things pop up like Obama getting reelected. After everything that happened, how in the hell could he get reelected? Because you like to get caught up in this bullshit. You like to defend injustice. You like to make excuses for this kind of injustice, which inflames and keeps blacks like me, poor people, the people on the other side, that keeps us fighting back against you, trying to tell you, this can't go on. Don't tell me that we all got to get along and we got to work together. And then this kind of injustice exists, and you defend it. Don't tell me that we all got to work together and follow the Constitution and all this kind of stuff. And then when a black guy goes walking home from the store, gets accosted by some guy he doesn't know, and that guy shoots him with a gun, and he don't have a gun. The black guy don't have a gun. But the white guy that approaches him, accosts him, asks him what you're doing and all this different kind of stuff, shoots him and kills him, and then you're going to defend it. Don't tell me that we all got to work together and follow the Constitution. It's difficult to get beyond this incident when you are defending that kind of injustice. You know, as I said, some of these Blog Talk assholes, crackers and niggas, you know, it's like they spend the time on the internet researching to find stories of race. And then they'll get some statistics about the number of blacks that are incarcerated or the number of blacks that are poor and in poverty. They got all these stats about black folk. And, you know, half of these people are white crackers. And the other half are black niggas that's doing this stuff. But then you challenge them on that and you say, okay, well, what's the statistics of white crime? Or what's the statistics of white poverty? Well, I got all the stats and everything. Well, ain't nobody asking you about all the stats. I'm just saying, since you seem to have statistics about race, you got it for blacks. Well, I imagine you have the stats for whites, Hispanics. They never have it because they don't care about that. They just want to spend their time digging up information about the poor or about blacks because they're crackers or niggas. And to be clear, I don't know if I explained this well, but niggas are just programmed robots. I don't know if they're the dumbest thing that's out there. But they don't think. They're robots. The only thing they know is what the white man, the white master, told them to know. And they were programmed to defend the white man and white master. And the system that was created by the white man or white master. So that's all that they do. Defend the white man and attack niggas. Or attack blacks. And the thing about them is not only do they help to promote this hatred against black people, but, you know, this is how stupid the white racists are and the people that like these niggas, the white people that like listening to these niggas. This is how stupid you are. You don't understand that you can't progress. You're being held down because what that nigga is doing is validating your racism and hatred. So, you know, Hannity is good at this. Any black person that wants to talk about, you know, black people need to go out and get a job or something, he'll pull them right up on TV. And you got all these white people in the audience. Yeah, well, that's right. He's great. Or Alan West. I love Alan West. I think he should be president. You know, you hear those white people talk like that. They're the types. That's the dumbasses. That, you know, they just want to have their hatred and racism validated. But Alan West, and I'm just going to use him as an example, he's all about these wars. You know, he talks something about the Constitution. Get him, what's it called? Pull it down to brass tacks and see if he wants to get rid of Homeland Security or get rid of the TSA groping people. Or get rid of the drones. I bet you $100 he doesn't. I bet he supports this stuff. He just doesn't like Obama doing it. He prefers that a Republican is doing it. Because he's a nigga. But the crackers, the white crackers that like him, you know, you just hateful. You like to hear blacks talking about blacks. It's like, what's his name, Manning, Reverend Manning. He was all good as long as he was talking shit about Obama all day long. And he still does. But he didn't disappear off the map. Why? Because he didn't came out against Sarah Palin and Fox News and Rush Limbaugh. Look, the only thing I'm saying about this stuff is that these people are nothing but tools. And they're hyped up, they're highlighted, they're given a voice in the mass media. You know, they get to go on Hannity, they get to go on O'Reilly. You know, the Al Sharptons, get to go on MSNBC. Anybody that's promoting this race issue, and not only that, the religion issue, but, you know, specifically tonight I'm talking about the race thing. Anybody that's promoting that as an issue is highlighted. That's because the cabal wants to keep that as an issue. They want to keep that in your mind. They want you to be distrustful of somebody of an opposite race. They want you to be prejudiced and bigoted and hateful. That way, the military can continue to exist and get a lot of money, because we got to go kill those brown people over there. Now we're going into Africa. You know, all around the world where there's brown people, they seem to be on this plots of land that's got all kinds of resources. You know, how the hell that happened? Why did God put all these brown people in, you know, in the place where all this gold and oil and all? Dad, God, what's your problem, man? But the evil Al-Qaeda, they had Al-Qaeda in Pakistan, Al-Qaeda in Iraq, AQP, Al-Qaeda in Pakistan. What's it going to be now? AQA, Al-Qaeda in Africa? Or does each country's got to have AQN, Al-Qaeda in Nigeria, AQS, Al-Qaeda in Somalia. Look, all of this stuff ain't nothing but racism that's being used so that this elite can go in there, take over. It's geopolitics. Ultimately, it's the oligarchy taking control of the whole world. But they're doing it through deception. And they need your resources, the human resource, you, to go fight their wars for them. Your money, the financial resource, which is still you. You go out and do all the work, get the money, then they collect tax from you. They need you to acquiesce so that they can do all this dirt. And they need you not to be looking into their business. So, you know, they just play on your tribal fears of something that's different. And race is the easiest thing there is. But as I said, I came across that story today. I saw about that Central Park 5. And, you know, I guess this movie's going to come out Tuesday, on a documentary on PBS. It should be pretty good, but it's painful. And to think that, you know, these guys' lives were just destroyed over some BS, over lies, you know. We can't continue to allow this kind of injustice. We can't get along and work together when we have this kind of injustice going on. The Trayvon Martin case, you know, to have people defend a person who approaches another person on the street, and then there's an altercation and he shoots and kills that other person, that's indefensible. But as long as this kind of injustice, and then not only that, but everything that happened subsequently, he wasn't in jail for the longest. He was out on bond. He goes in, he gets out. They find out he lied. He goes back in, he gets back, you know. As long as we have this unequal justice, as long as we got niggas on Blog Talk pumping this stuff up and defending racists or attacking black folk and denigrating black folk. And as long as we got crackers, hateful white racists on here that's searching out news stories, anything they can find about race and blacks and, you know, making those stories to talk about and, you know, getting their little team of followers to, yeah, here's another one and look at this one and he's a racist, calling other people racist and stuff, and all they do is search out stories about black. You know, as long as we got these ignorant assholes that are just so stupid that, you know, that they're doing this stuff, or it just, I don't know, they're agents, you know, whether it's intentional or unintentional. But as long as these people are out here fanning the flames of this hatred, it's going to make us harder to combat what's going on. And the race issue is just one. As I said, that's one tool in the toolbox. Same thing with religion. You know, these people that spreading all this hatred about Islam. You know, we got all these Muslims all throughout this country. Mosque here. People work, you work with them, you see them, and they've been here, living here for 30 years. You know. Now all of a sudden, you know, telling the whole country that this, they got this secret thing, Taqiyya, whatever they call that shit. They gonna act like everything's okay. They supposed to act like they nice until the secret word comes out. Then they gonna start slaughtering. You know, that kind of hatred and evil. We got to get over that stuff. So, and I see I got a couple calls. I guess I need to go to a break, but let me go ahead and get the calls. I'll take these calls and then I'll go to a break and we'll see where we go from there. 347.
Hi. Yeah. Hey, it's Regular Girl. Just real quickly. You know, I hear what you're saying. I really do. And I hope that you know that I do. But also, are you saying that, you know, there is not a difference in the Constitution as it's written between, I don't know, I don't even know what they call them because I don't have it in front of me, but I do know it's there in the 13th Amendment where they actually articulate that a person of darker color skin, as along with women and children, are not going to be worth a whole person. See, there's something about...
No, I know about that. I know about that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, so, I know about it.
No, it may be time to, like, bring that all to the forefront. I don't know if I want to defend a constitution, and I'm a white person, but actually I don't know that. I really don't. I really, really do have very strange ancestry.
So no, but hold on. But look, don't go there. What I'm saying is, I understand what you're saying there about the Constitution. I'm not one of these people that spends all the time, we got to follow the Constitution. You know, to me, that's kind of, it's simple-minded. You know, I support what the Constitution stands for, and I just want us to get back to September the 10th, 2001, before all this 911 stuff, and then just keep on working on making it a better country. That's all I'm talking about. You know, but to your point about what's in the Constitution, look, there's people own slaves. All of them did. George Washington, Jefferson. So, you know, I'm the last person that's going to sit up and defend all those people. To hell with those. Screw them as far as I'm concerned. You know, but we are where we are now, though. So I'm just saying, you know, from here, where do we go? Right now in 2013, you know, it's law that we all can go anywhere to live and, you know, go into any public place, this and that, and, you know, can't have discrimination. We got those laws, so just live your life and try to be straight with it. And then if you mistreat it, you know, take these people to court or do whatever. There's a lot to try to address. And as a black person, I ain't going to spend my whole life fighting that race issue. To hell with that. I'm just going dealing people one by one. If you treat me like shit, I'm going to treat you like shit. To hell with you, I'll cuss you out and F you and all this kind of stuff. But other than that, I ain't got time. You know, life is too short. It's a lot of stress, you know, and plus it's like that old saying, even besides the race, if you piss me off and I spend all my time thinking about you and I'm like so pissed off at you, you've occupied a room in my head. You know, now I can't go on and do what I want to do. I want to go to the park. I want to do this with my kids. I want to do this. I want plans of this. But I'm still mad at you about some stuff you said or something. It's like you've taken over a spot in my head. I can't move forward. So rather than allow you that rental space in my head, the hell with that. I'm like, screw it. Hey, you know, he's a dummy. She's a dummy. And then I can move on. That's all I'm saying.
Good point. No, that's a good point. Thanks. I just wanted to say that. Great show. Thanks.
Yeah. Hey, thanks. Okay, that's a regular girl. 302. Hold on. There, your mic's open. Who do we have there?
Hello, ABC. This is Antoinette.
Hey, what's going on, Antoinette?
Oh, nothing. I just wanted to bring to your attention one of the excuses why Trayvon Martin was murdered, but not murdered because it was defensive. What is that? And self-defense. Was because even though he was coming back to store from the store with the iced tea, remember that could be used to mix some kind of drug or something with?
Yeah.
Either a prank or something, whatever it's called. I never heard of before, so that made him high and delusional and everything else. Do you remember that comment?
No. I mean, I heard some nigga on Blog Talk,
excuse my mic,
you know,
yes.
Say some stuff about that Trayvon is a drug addict. He was probably
But they used the iced tea. They used the Arizona iced tea.
Yeah. You know,
because the comment was made, you know, iced tea and.
But, you know, the thing is, even if it was, if he was high, if he was walking down the street smoking a joint, smoking some PCP, unless you got some proof that he was going around attacking somebody, then
leave him alone.
Yeah, what's that got to do with you? And I'm just throwing. It's not you specifically, but
right,
what the hell's it got to do with you? You know, hey, look at that guy over there. He's walking down the street. He didn't took off his clothes. He seemed like he high on drugs or something. Okay, call the police and keep going. Why you got to? Who, you know, Mr. Vigilante? Let me go check this out. Get the hell out!
Yeah, because I'm gonna get away from him. You know, Let me get as far away from this person as I can and hurry up and get my house and shut the door and lock it.
That's just the stupid person's attempt at denigrating this boy. What was he, 17?
Yeah.
That's their attempt at denigrating him and defending Zimmerman because they just hate black people. It's either
his mother came out with a statement now. Zimmerman's mother did.
Oh, she did?
Yeah, where she's upset because they called her son a murderer and said that all of this is being done because of the masses, to appease the masses.
Who did her son murder, supposedly?
Trayvon Martin, remember?
Oh, you said Zimmerman's mother. I thought you were talking about Trayvon Martin had come out.
No,
mother came out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, as far as a parent...
I understood that.
Yeah, because you're going to defend your kid no matter what.
Yeah, I said I understand that because as a parent, you know, I don't want to think that my child is just capable of cold-blooded murder. I mean, and I'm going to speak highly of my child because that's my child.
Yeah.
I said, so I understand that.
I think
I do understand
part of it,
that
though,
point.
You know, even understanding that, I remember... And not to, like, redo the whole case or nothing like that, but there's enough stuff about this Zimmerman guy that you got to question what his parents were about. You know, how did they raise him? I think he had been charged or something before with beating up his girlfriend or wife or somebody.
And then also with police officers. He had altercations with police officers.
Yeah.
And I believe they were physical. Now, I could be wrong.
Yeah. So, but it's just, you know, the thing about it, and I think you know as well as anybody, Antoinette, because you've checked out, you've heard some of these niggas on blocks.
Yes, I have. Self-hating.
Promoting this stuff. and, well, you know, I mean, they just, they hurt black people because they help to fuel hatred against blacks, but then they hurt white people because they give white people some cover and validation for their hatred.
Yes.
So these people
that is
are
okay.
Just,
that is okay
just,
for them to say anything and everything, and it's acceptable. But the only thing is
just,
you can say all of this stuff on Blog Talk, but then get out in the world outside of Blog Talk and go outside and say it.
Well, but like I was saying earlier, the thing about it is we got we got this NDA, we got the Patriot Act. Now, now in 2013, all of a sudden everybody understands this stuff. But, you know, warrantless wiretapping, all this stuff, you know, they come out and saying that the what's that, vets are possible terrorists or something, you know, looking at white people and possible terrorists. You know, all of a sudden, now they're coming after all of us. But, you know, with all of this going on, we can't afford stuff like
all
these
of this
niggas
division.
on Blog Talk.
Blog Talk.
Spewing this stuff and disinformation, denigration, and promoting the hatred. And the crackers on here eating that stuff up. You so right. I love that nigga. He always telling it like it is. You know, that stupid stuff. This pettiness, these games are done, man. I mean, these
because
people, what, they buying up
we need to be
stuff,
past that.
They're buying up ammunition and stuff at the Homeland Security and all these different agencies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now they got the gun control legislation they're pushing. These people are coming pretty hard at us.
Yeah.
You know, so
and
heavy.
No one's not thinking about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, a lot of people, let me not say no one, but a lot of people are not thinking about that, you know, it's going to come a time where it's not going to be just them against us. You know, if you got to worry about your neighbor and everyone else coming against you, too,
I have to say,
it needs to be some unity.
Right.
And
right.
Nobody wants unity. You know, not, okay, I said that wrong again. Not everyone wants unity because they're too busy looking at people's economic situations, you know, the color of people's skin, their religion, you know, if they serve a God or if they're atheists. And, you know, it's time to put all that in the back burner.
I think as long as we're focused on truth and freedom, we should be okay. The problem is, it's hard for some people. It's hard for a lot of us. And I've said this from the beginning. All of us have been programmed. All of us.
Yes.
The difference is that at some point in your adulthood, when you'd left home and started to live your life the way you want to live it, based on your experiences and what you've read and what you've learned and all this kind of stuff, you're supposed to have, you know, evolved past that indoctrination that you got when you was a kid, where over here is like this, over there is like that. So, you know, your parents were indoctrinated or programmed just like you was programmed.
Yeah.
We program our kids like we was programmed. You know, all of us have to evolve. And myself, I believe that our soul, our spirit, is that connection with creation. And that will shine through. You know, as you reach adulthood, you know, I think it matures and it attempts to break out and tell us, hey, look, this is bullshit, this is real, this is truth, and this is freedom.
Yeah.
But so many of us, we stay stuck. It's like people addicted to drugs or addicted to sex are addicted to sports. You know, I'm a sports fanatic and all this stuff. We are addicted to this world, to this matrix, and we don't want to let go. We're afraid. We're fearful to let go. You know.
Well,
so
because it's even though something is uncomfortable, but it's familiar. So it's
right.
You know, it may be fearful and everything else, but you're familiar with it. And it's even more fearful to deal with the unknown.
Right, right, right. No, you're right about that. I don't know. You know, I think we'll see how it goes for tonight. I'm probably going to move on from this subject. I mean,
I just wanted to bring that to your attention.
No, I appreciate it. You know, you always got a good outlook and a good head on your shoulders about this stuff. So it's all
I try to. I don't have another choice. I mean,
right
on. You know, my daughter-in-laws and my grandchildren, so I have no other choice but to.
Well, and besides that, the reality is it's about, like I said, your soul. And I had this one meme. I just learned what that meme meant, but somebody had posted on Facebook that it said something about your beliefs don't make you a good person, your behavior does. And that's
and
what
that's
it is.
Oh, so true.
You know, actions speak louder than words. There's a number of different ways to say it, but the bottom line is that the proof is in, my mother used to say, the proof is in the pudding.
Yeah.
You know, you can say a bunch of stuff, but I'll
mm-hmm.
see what you do. And the fruits of that labor is some bullshit, you know.
Yeah.
You saying all this nice stuff, but you're doing some dirt, so the hell with it.
Yeah.
That stuff don't add up. I'm going the other direction. That's what it amounts to.
Yep, and that is so true. You know, what it all boils down to is, you know, okay, let me see what you manifested.
Right, exactly.
And if what you manifested stinks to high heaven, then what's the point of it?
Yeah.
You know, your labor was in vain.
Right, right.
And what you put out was in vain.
Well, something else that these people don't understand to spread this stuff is, you know, it's got this kind of cliche name or trendy type name of karma. And we just define it as to, that's just that Indian, the Buddhism and stuff. But I'm here to tell you that's for real. And
you reap what you sow. I mean,
what goes around comes around,
you know.
That's what we called it. Growing up, we called it what goes around comes around. I think the Bible says you reap what you sow.
You reap what you sow.
You know, people got different ways to express it, but it's all the same.
it's all the same thing.
It's going to come back on you.
which is true. You know,
right.
Out there and you're doing a bunch of dirt, you best believe it. Yeah. You're going to feel the effects of that dirt later.
Right, right.
And, you know, you're going to feel it. It may not be later. It may be immediately.
And to speak on that, you know, that's why we are where we are now. It ain't just these devils did all this stuff. The problem is that too many of us Americans went along with this stuff. You know, too many of us hop on the bandwagon when they push this this unfair three strikes law that targets, you know, just the inner city or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, or we defend this, higher penalties for crack than against cocaine or stuff like that. You know, those of us that fall into this category of defending this inequality and all this stuff, as I said, we fuel this division.
Yeah.
So the division keeps us going back and forth. Meanwhile, these devils are plotting the schemes and running the scams and, you know, giving each other bailouts and subsidies and, you know, committing crimes and not going to jail and all this kind of stuff. And now we're at the point to where the bust happened and people lost their homes and foreclosed on robo signing. It's all out in public. And everybody's
everything's
going to happen. How did this happen? Because you let it happen.
You know, I think the reason why we let it happen is because we thought we were protecting ourselves and our own families. You know, the three strike laws. Well, if somebody keeps committing crimes and doing all this stuff, after a while it goes to show you that, You know, they must like being there, and that's where they need to be. You know, and that way we know they won't hurt us.
And I don't have a problem with criminals going away. I mean, if you're doing dirt, you need to be punished
about it.
The problem about it is what happens is these devils take your emotion and they fuel that, and they get you to sign on to something that you really don't know about. It's just like the Congress signing off on laws, the Patriot Act and all this kind of stuff when they ain't even read it. You know, and then come to find out that it's coming at Americans or something like this. And then, well, I didn't intend for that. Well, hell, you signed off on it. Well, we only had 3 hours to read through 1,000 pages. Well, why did you sign it? Why ain't you come out on the news and say, I ain't signing it, and look, this is what's going on. They're trying to ram it down our throat. You know, we have to take some responsibility for what we buy into.
And not that you didn't have questions about anything in those 3,000 pages.
We got to take responsibility for what we buy into. Stop going along with stuff. If they're going to do dirt, they're going to do dirt. That don't mean that we have to sign off on it. You know, call it out for what it is. And maybe if enough of us call it out for what it is, they won't be able to go forward with. As a matter of fact, what was it? Maybe it was this gun thing earlier in the months or something. But it's like they come at this stuff. It's like, hey, we're going to do this. We're going to try to ram it through. And the people raise so much hell, they back off. They just come back again. And we just have to stay as vigilant as they are. But the problem is when we got this stupid stuff like niggas and crackers out here promoting this garbage, you know, with division and racism, then we off the mall. You know, we're caught up and we're going off in this mud fest while they over there doing the dirt. So all of a sudden, 16 Republicans signed off. Hey, how did that happen? We need you to call these Republicans. Shit, the stuff is done now.
And it was already planned to be done. Anyway, I mean, you know, all the calls and all that stuff, that's not going to make any difference. Whatever they have that's in the works that they've already had planned from, you know, 20 to 50 years ago, they're not going to change their plans for anyone. You know, it would be good if, you know, you could, you know,
all it takes
protest
all it
and
is for us to stop attacking each other and start looking at what these people are doing, you know.
Yes, and that's what it needs to come down to is, you know,
we all have to agree on everything.
We can't afford to attack each other.
And it don't mean that we all have to agree on everything. All it means is that you need to keep, it's like they said, keep your eye on the prize. The prize is watching these devils that's supposed to be, what's that, managing our government that we have supposedly elected. You know, these laws and stuff that's signed into law now, it's ridiculous. The idea that we would give this government the authority for the NDAA, the Patriot Act, and you know, that they buying up all this ammunition. And they're unanswerable to us. They don't answer to us. All of this stuff is unreal. But they got the media to pump up this stuff, and we believe that stuff. You know, we need to get it together. Hey, I need to take this break.
Go ahead. Thank you for taking my call.
Okay.
And
hey,
the show was really great. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
All right. That's Antoinette, longtime listener. She's great. A great friend there. So, hey, let me take this break. I'll come back and open phones. We'll take some more calls. Probably get into some other more current news. But, you know, I'm interested to get you guys' take on how this race issue. You know, when I come back, I want to spend a little bit of time, too, talking about how I think that we are evolving. I've met people through Blog Talk here, and I hear white people that have gotten beyond this. I'm on Facebook, you know, and then not only that, but with people I talk to and people in the street. I mean, besides the whole thing with the government and stuff, you know, go to the store and people are people. I'm old enough. I think that now in 2013, it's not like it was in the 70s, you know, in the 80s. This integration has changed everything. We still got racism. We still got niggas. We still got crackers. We still got ignorant dummies out there. But a lot of people have evolved. So I'll spend a little time talking about that when I get back too. So let me take a break, and we'll be right back.
Hey guys, Proof here. Guess what? I just got a cell phone. Hey, for everyone that knows me, I'm not a fan of cell phones, but I just signed up with a company called Solovay. And Solovay is offering a plan right now with unlimited phone, text, and web for only $49 a month. Plus, if you refer a friend or two, you get a discounted rate for everyone you refer for as long as they have Solovay, not just for the first month, but the whole time that person has Solovay. You sign up enough people, and Solovay pays you every month. What other cell phone company is going to pay you for service? Anyway, go to Solovay.com/freedomizer. That's Solovay, Solavei.com/freedomizer. Learn all about it. Plus, and another kicker, if you sign up three people under you, you'll get another month for free as well. Plus, they're going to pay you cash. Anyway, Solovay.com/freedomizer.
When tyranny rears its ugly head, will you bow and serve, or will you stand and fight?
Hi, everybody. This is Barack Obama.
You get this hunger.
Everybody here wants the pie. We want to grow the pie, and then we want to fight for the pie.
When freedom is threatened, will you turn a blind eye, or will you sound the alarm?
The private sector is doing fine.
Hey folks, this is The Mouth, host of The Last Voice for Liberty Network. Tune in Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. Pacific, 11 Central for your ultimate dose of liberty right here on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life. Shade, the motion picture. A view into the globalist domain. Annabella's and Burma's film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
You have to stand up. Speak up. Speak out.
Shade the Motion Picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at ShadeTheMotionPicture.com.
The desire to enslave our fellow man is unfortunately intrinsic to the human character. It has been with us since the beginning of time on every continent and in virtually every culture, from ancient Egypt to Babylon to Greece and Rome, Africa, Asia, Europe, and the United States. It's a disease of our human nature, yet people are under the impression that it no longer exists.
As long as you behave like a slave, you'll remain in the jacket to keep you straight and grip you up in court like a racket. Represented, ain't it fantastic? Your attorney and your judge study the same magic. You are an infant, a person that's unsound. They give you life vests, take it off and you will drown. At least that's what they try to teach you. They give you A and B, I don't subscribe to either. You should see Stone Cold through their fallacy when they try to control the debate with a duality. Pick one and you think you got a choice. You've essentially squandered your motherfucking voice. I talk to the masses to see what I find, and eventually I gathered half a million like minds. Fuck a million men, there's 100 more times than what you thought. That consensus was created by crime. Your First Amendment is better than a doornail. Speaking your mind will get you fined or war jail. We're building bombs that you wouldn't believe. You want the right to bear arms, roll up your sleeve. Your First Amendment is better than a doornail. Speaking your mind will get you fined or war jail. We're building bombs that you wouldn't believe. You want the right to bear arms, roll up your sleeve. As long as you behave like a slave, you'll remain in amazement. Lost in a labyrinth of your enslavement. Wandering in a CIA-approved arrangement. Listening to a blabbermouth for entertainment. The truth ain't what it's cracked up to be. Patriots are manufactured in a factory. Most so-called hate groups they've all been to. ADL, Southern Poverty Law Center. You might hear my words ungodly and jest, but you don't know about the wicked Dr. Jolly and West, who looked after Tim McVeigh right up until his death. Sirhan, Jack Ruby, and probably Koresh. Some say Oswald was just one lone nut. Others will say the CIA murdered JFK, so what? The human animal makes me want to channel Lord Milner and execute everybody who's off kilter.
All this dollar order, that's what they're saying, is soon to be brought down. And they ain't playing fluoride in your water, that's what I'm saying.
That's all that I am, and I am not capable of bowing to a man, and I am not capable of grand jurisdiction, especially considering the fact that you're a fiction, especially considering the fact you ain't real, and I'm flesh, and I'm blood, and I breathe, and I feel, and I'm here, and I'm now, I exist in this time, and the only place that you exist is the mind, and the only evidence of your existence is paper, I'm 80% water, you ain't even made of vapor, you ain't nothing but a figment of the imagination, of men and women whose opinions held as legislation, but how does that opinion then create an obligation upon an autonomous sovereign without a nation? I'm saying, as a king, I stand above your law, and it doesn't even matter whether or not I cross your bar.
The First Amendment is deader than the doornail. Speaking your mind could get you fined or more jail. We're building bombs that you wouldn't believe. You want the right to bear arms? Roll up your sleeve. Your First Amendment is deader than the doornail. Speaking your mind could get you fined or more jail. We're building bombs that you wouldn't believe. You want the right to bear arms? Your beloved America's a British colony de jure. The king funded both sides of the Revolutionary War. The people does not include you, you're a whore. You can verify that in Barron vs. Baltimore. Look on your deed and you'll see the word tenant. Slaves cannot own property, just rent it. Social security's in place to enslave us. The trust fund, they blew it, Stewart vs. Davis. It's all psyched out in black and white. Decided very long ago how you'd react and fight. Contingency plans were drawn up exact, precise, on how to distract your nice from the facts of life. They polarize the people to attack and fight, within groups searching for truth and hijack the plight. I knew a few patriots who lacked the price. One of them's drunk in a lounge singing Mac the Knife. The other two have disappeared unheard of. Some say suicide, others say murder. Watch out for patriots on the radio. Many know the truth, but they simply won't say it though. I ain't looking for beef, cause most of you're friendly. But Alex Jones seen juices as kosher as any. Another money bomb, how much can you lend me? What can I get with 3 quadrillion pennies? Your First Amendment is deader than a doornail. Speaking your mind will get you fined or more jail. We're building bombs that you wouldn't believe. You want the right to bear arms, roll up your sleeves. Your First Amendment is deader than the doornail. Speaking your mind will get you fined or more jail. We're building bombs that you wouldn't believe. You want the right to bear arms, roll up your sleeves.
The Jewish people seem to run 90% of all the media and all of the Hollywood movies.
All right, thanks for the call. Everybody hates the Jews. Oh, my God.
By the way, Larry didn't say he hated the Jews.
Question, why are you still breathing? I mean, why haven't you really just taken a toaster oven and thrown it in the bathtub with yourself at a party? Because that's what you need to do.
I mean, Kate Foxman of the Jewish ADL admits that the 8 largest movie studios are run by Jews. Joel Stein, also Jewish. Joel Stein says a part of the Jews run Hollywood and the movies and the media. And Jason, please, don't call yourself the info warrior if you don't even know those basic facts. He was asked by reporters, the Jews own Hollywood. And he looked at the reporter like he was nuts. He said, well, of course the Jews run and own Hollywood.
So what?
According to Jason Burmes, he even dared to say that the Jews run Hollywood.
Okay, we're back. That's Payday behind the bar. Just a little bit more on the subject of the race issue and how it's used in this kind of thing. I dropped one of the links in the chat room about Jon Stewart. I guess I missed it, but last night, Thursday night, he and this other guy on his show, Wilmore, some black guy, Larry Wilmore, they did some shtick mocking Rand Paul, who recently did a speech at Howard University, speaking to black students. And apparently, you know, reading this, what it sounds like, I didn't see the Rand Paul speech, but, you know, it's another one of these things where you have some Republican go to the NAACP or some all-black organization and, you know, they give their speech and, you know, it's the media presents it and maybe that politician presents it as brave, you know. It's like, well, you know, I understand that that as a Republican, it's not my normal constituency. And they may be apprehensive to my coming here, but, you know, I think that people are people, and I think that they'll respect just some common sense and whatever. You know, it's all that kind of talk. But ultimately, what it's about, it's chess is all it is. And this is maybe on a personal level, but I feel confident about this. It's not so much about trying to win these people over. It's the aesthetics. You know, it's the media showing that you as a white politician went to Howard University, all blacks college, to tell them how it is, you know. And you're respectful and all this kind of stuff. But, man, you know, it took some bravery for you to go there. You know the black people ain't really caring for you too much. You white and Republican. And the black people vote for Democrats all the time. So, man, he's brave. So all the Republicans and conservatives, you know, they get you extra points amongst the conservatives and whites. Like, wow, you know, man, he's got some balls. He went to Howard University and talked. I think somebody, was it Perry or somebody that went to the NAACP and gave some speech? And then a lot of times, too, what they'll do is they'll try to, you know, slyly chastise that audience, you know, like the black community. Like, you know, and while everybody should be treated equal and I support fair treatment and all of this, I will say that in the black community, there needs to be some self-help and, you know, people need to take responsibility. So, you know, you throw that in there and then go back to all the white folks and, yeah, you know, I told them that they need to take responsibility. Playing these games, you know. Well, so this particular article talks about, basically, I guess that's what John Stewart and Wilmer, this black guy, Larry Wilmer, did. They were mocking Rand Paul. And, you know, John Stewart, I think he's kind of funny and he has some good points, but he's part of this stuff too. I mean, he plays up the whole progressive and liberal stuff. So it ain't like there's any love, big love for him. But in this particular article, it's just something that caught my eye because since Obama won re-election, and if you remember, was it Ann Coulter or somebody that said, if we can't beat Obama, this was before the election happened, when he's running for re-election, she said, if we can't beat Obama with the current state of affairs, we need to just fold up the tent because, you know, I mean, this is as bad as it gets. And then Republicans couldn't beat him. So she was right. It shows how bad it was. But after all of that happened, then the narrative was that the Republican Party needs to do more to reach out to minorities. Well, you know, on the surface, that sounds like something that, hey, you know, kind of makes sense and the demographics are changing and all this different kind of stuff. But honestly, if what you're saying, if what you're talking about is the truth and it's it's right, it's in line with the spirit and freedom, then why would you, you know, stick with the truth is all it's about, you know. Don't target me because I like basketball and I like hip hop. Well, it's one thing to talk about marketing or this kind of thing, but to change your what you're talking about, it's like all of a sudden you care about whatever blacks are supposed to care about. The narrative says that blacks want welfare or they want government stuff. So all of a sudden you're going to start talking about giving away free stuff when you know that ain't what it's about. Then that's bullshit. So if that's what the Republican Party is doing, is changing up who they are, you know, the blacks and minorities want to see gun control, so now you're going to start supporting gun control. Then you ain't nothing but a whore, a prostitute, just doing tricks. You know, hey, do you do gun control? I like gun control. Yeah, yeah, do it real slow. So you start supporting gun control. What kind of shit? But basically, that's the narrative that's came out since the election, is that the Republican Party's got to change up all this stuff. I don't know. I got a couple calls. Let me go to these calls. Hey, I think this is my buddy Senior. What's happening, man?
Hey, brother. How's it going?
Okay.
Good, good. Well, you know, that race card, brother, the race card for these devils has been the card used in and out, and it will be used as long as people keep falling for it.
Right.
All gangbangers are black and brown.
Right, right,
all
right.
All gays are white. All chefs are Italians. I mean, like, we could go on forever with that. And that's the way they play it, and people keep falling for the same shit. They like the shit. They stand in line to get slapped. They stand in line to get slapped, and they just keep, like, getting slapped.
Yeah.
You know, and people just don't pay attention. And they're just like, wow, why is it like that now? All Asians do karate, you know. There's a karate guy. Where's the Asians? There's a foreign car. Where's the Asian? There's a hot rod. Where's the dirty white guy? There's a lowrider. Where's the Mexican? Or
right.
Hispanic, as you call him, which is really Latino. But anyway, so, I mean, you know, dude, I mean, you know, there's a drive-by. Oh, we saw that guy. I mean, dude, you know what? They just stereotype the shit out of everybody with that race card, and people keep falling. You could put on the news, and they're still doing that crap.
Right.
We have a picture of this guy. He looks Latino.
Right.
Well, guess what? So do Iranians and Afghanistans and Armenians, and I mean,
right.
On and on.
How many times have they said, "Hey, some black guy came and stole my purse, or did this, or killed my wife, or something like this," and come to find out that they did it themselves? They just knew that everybody would go for it if they said it was a black guy.
Exactly. And they say a black guy, it could be somebody that's even, it could be a Native American that's tanned.
Right.
But the skin is black, dark, so black guy right away. See, it's just that race card. People are just brainwashed with that.
Yeah.
And they keep going at it.
No, right. And what I was getting at with this is, like I said, we got some of these people on Blog Talk that keep pushing this kind of division and all this kind of stuff. And some people listen to this stuff. There's a decent number of fans of this shit, and between that racist or dummy that's promoting it and their fans, you know, then they got friends. So, you know, this kind of mentality keeps us trapped in this prison where these this cabal can just kind of easily keep manipulating us. And again, you know, they're giving each other bailouts, subsidies, that robo sign, and don't worry about it. It's not a problem. All those people can't get their house back. It's too late now, but we shouldn't have did that. Here's the $1,000 fine or some crap.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous, man. It's ridiculous.
Well, the banks are actually giving the people who lost their homes, and I'm one of them. I didn't lose my home. They took my home from me, actually, illegally. But they're giving now everybody a refund of $1,000.
Yeah.
And I said, you got to be kidding me. I'm going to write back to the bank when they do that. I said, I'm using this $1,000 to sue your damn ass. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm high. My lawyer knows the shit out of you. It's just so ridiculous. And people just keep falling for the same sucker game.
Right.
You know, it's older than the street game, man. It's older than the Roman Empire. And people are still falling for it. Like our politicians doing the same things. We're not having enough money for this, not enough money for that. Well, then let's cut your pay. You know.
Right.
For giving yourself, raises. Let's cut those righteous benefits and those limousines and those private planes and jets that you use for you and your friends, those vacations for you. Let's cut everything out. I bet you we'll be way ahead of the budget, you know.
There you
and
go.
It's just, until that happens, you know, it's going to be the same bullshit. See? And people just don't realize that they know it's there. Well, what do we do? Well, you got to do something besides looking at a reality TV and playing Xbox all damn day. That's the answer.
Right.
I mean, you know, people are just, they're basically, man, a lot of folks are stuck on stupid, and they must really enjoy that, you know. And now they're coming out with a new phone, an iPhone 6, and 20,000 Gs, and the G, and 4 Gs. And, I mean, dude,
how much
more radiation do you need to put in your damn head to get cancer and everything else?
Right,
I mean, come
on.
Right. Yeah, it's really, really to the point of stupidity. You know, and people, they must really like to do harm to themselves and to their families and their children, because they keep accepting the same bullshit rather than saying, no, wait a minute. Why, you know, let's stop all this bullshit. Once everybody agrees, hey, let's stop this. And we're getting pretty close to that. I'm seeing a lot
One thing I would say is that, and I kind of alluded to this earlier, but I do think that we're making progress as far as getting past this tool, or recognizing this tool, the race tool, and maybe some of the other tools too, but particularly the race tool. And a lot of it has to do with the integration and interaction. You know, when you are working with people, when you force through, even if you don't like them or something, but, you know, you got to get stuff done, or, you know, if you're at a restaurant, or you're here or there, you're at the park, when there's interaction stuff and you start to see these people as just regular people, or maybe they're with the family and all that kind of stuff, then it makes an impression on you. And generally what I'm looking at is, you know, the communication that I see and that I have here on Blog Talk and Facebook and just out and about, and also listening to C-SPAN, you know, listening to the conservative talk radio, these people call in. I hear people, this is fairly often, that pretty much tell the, the host, it's like, look, you know, it ain't about all that. It's about the rich have stolen the money, and they got us, you know, off on this tangent and that tangent, while they're not doing anything about the, you know, the money that's been stolen in this country. So I hear that from people, basically where they're telling the host, ain't nobody trying to hear all that kind of shit, the race stuff and this and that. So I'm hopeful, and I do think that there's been some progression. But what kind of got me going on this was just, I don't know, over the past week or so, I've heard these niggas on Blog Talk and these crackers. You know, it's crackers, and it's the same crackers that's been doing it for years, and they've been doing it, but it's like, damn, everybody's evolved now. You would think they'd be done, but they're still doing it. You know, you can tell they like research, they look up race stories, because it's like every other story, you know, at least two stories an hour or something. Well, and here's another one. Let's check out this one. So this black guy did this. No, what's up with the races? Shut up. You don't want to keep bringing this stuff up, you stupid.
Well, you know, they have an audience for it. They're attracting an audience. And
yeah,
as long as people keep falling for that, they're going to keep on doing it.
Exactly. And that's my point. You know, they're opportunists. They're racist. They're dummy. And we need to call these people out as who they are. You know, like, look, you're an asshole. And just like people call into C-SPAN and these conservative talk radio shows. And I've heard it. I've heard people call into some of these blog talks and tell these dummies, like, look, ain't nobody talking about that stuff. We trying to stay focused on the real thing. And then they try to twist it. Well, no, all I'm saying is that, you know, this is part of it. It's like, you know, people are seeing through it. But we need to stay persistent that we ain't going to accept that kind of crap. We're trying to get to the root of the stuff, NDAA and the TSA groping people and ammunition and stuff. The hell with all that, you know, racism and stuff.
I'm telling you, brother, you know, it's just to the point where people need to just wake up and realize they're getting slapped around, and they must really be enjoying it because they're just standing in front of these folks getting slapped around and not doing anything about it. And until that time, it's going to keep on happening. But, hey, brother, you know, you always got a good show, always best subjects. But people were talking about this last week, saving money. I know the mobile home thing came up last week. I got one more thing to tell everybody. Every weekend I'll be hipping into this. A lot of people go out and see movies. I know they like spending money at movies. They're expensive with all the popcorn and stuff that you buy. You may buy it at the store and take it with you. Just the travel time, standing in the line. I did something a long time ago, and I forgot to mention this. I've always been intrigued with reading, and I've always had a library card, and I still do at my old age. I go to my library, my city library, and I get new releases that are on DVD releases that are still on, let's say, Hula or Amazon.com, where you pay like $3-4 to see these flicks. You can go to your library. I saw four good movies. I saw Possession. I saw that one, Abraham, that new one that was Anne Hathaway, Miserable. That one, I saw Possession. And I saw something of Watch, Day of Watch, Night of Watch, or something like that. It was a cop movie, a really, really good one. And I saw four good movies that are still on Amazon.com and Hula, and they're charging. They're still on demand. And I paid $4, $1 for each movie.
Nice.
At your local library. Local library, folks. That's all you got to do. By the way, I have my own popcorn maker, and I am learning how to make my own pizzas.
Right on.
All right, brother. You guys take care, and God bless.
Hey, thanks, buddy. All right. That's our buddy Senior there. Hey, and I saw there a couple other callers. One of them dropped. If you want to come back, caller, I'll get to you. But I do have this other caller. I think the other caller was a Skype caller. But 720, who do we have there?
Hi. My name's Lene, and I was calling because I came in, like, kind of late in the show. Well, I don't know how late. I don't know how long it's been running or anything. But, like, when you initially – well, anyhow, on the race issue – I agree with you on what you're saying about, like, people needing to look past the race issue and, like, look at it in, like, a broader spans or something. But, like, I'm a black girl or African-American female, however you want to say it. But, like, I see a true problem in our community. I see stuff, like, on YouTube. I'm kind of new to blog talk and everything. Mm-hmm. So, like, but, like, as far as YouTube, like, Tommy Sotomayor, he's getting, like, all sorts of... He's like crazy right now, and everybody's mad because he's saying what he's saying. And, like, I think he goes over the top sometimes, but the fact is that there is a huge problem in the black community. And black people are, like, from what I've seen in my own personal life, you know, as a black woman, like, I've been hurt by black people, and I know the government is bad or whatever, and all the Illuminati and all the other conspiracies that go into all of this, but, like, I mean, I do feel like there is some sort of a race issue. I do feel like it does kind of need to start in our community. But I was wondering, like, if you could help me understand, like, more so what you're saying. Like, am I wrong that feeling like it is a race issue? Niggas is acting wild. Niggas need to get some fucking sense, and they need to try and, I'm sorry for cursing, but they need to get some sense, and they need to, you know, like, start standing up. For something that's of value, and I'm not even speaking material value or, like, trying to build up assets, but, like, spiritually as a community, we are lacking so deeply. And, like, you know,
no,
I'm with all of that.
I understand what you're saying, and I accept that. I totally accept it. But it's like, I don't know if you ever heard or listened to Paul Harvey. You know, he died now, but... if you listen to, particularly on talk radio, he used to do it. They had this little thing. It was like, you know, 3 minutes. It was a 3-minute break while the other show was going on. And it was always like, and now Paul Harvey and the rest of the story. you know, it sounds like you didn't acknowledge it. So I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but
I don't know. I'm
okay.
Sorry.
His little time that he did, it was called, I think the name of it was, and now the rest of the story. And everything you're saying, I accept, but there's more to the story. So that's the part that I would tell you about. And I'll just explain it. I have said always that everybody is programmed. Blacks, whites, white people, dumb as a bag of rocks. Black people, dumb as a bag of rocks.
Are you allowed to say that?
I say anything I want to say. On my show, I say anything I want to say. But hold on, wait a minute. You asked me to try to hip you to where I'm coming from, so that's what I'm saying.
Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't.
Everybody is programmed. Everybody. And it's, the program is from the top down. And the same way we complaining now about the schools with teaching your kids how to put a condom on a banana and all that kind of stuff. You know, this stuff comes from the top down. Same with the media. You know, I believe that we very much underestimate the power of the media, whether it's TV or radio.
Oh, no.
You know, this
I'm
is our reality.
I'm completely aware that the media, like, even
no,
though...
No, wait a minute. Wait. Hold on. I'm going to just mute you so I can get this talk out, and then I'll come back to you. And a Skype caller, I'm coming to you right after this. But let me just answer what she was saying. Basically, she was saying that, look, black people, we are screwing up out here, and we need to get our act together. I mean, you got to admit that. And I understand that. And as far as is there some racial issues? Yeah, you know, we got problems. We have been the way this thing works is we have all been programmed, and we've been assigned roles. Black people, we brought here slaves and all this stuff. We were given a role of being the workhorse, the old donkey, do all the work for to build this thing, you know. And white people had to work too, you know. They had to go along with it. But the way we played off each other was black people do the brunt of all it, catch the brunt of all the hardship and all that kind of shit. Give the white folks a little bit more, you know. Maybe someone was indentured servants or something. Or maybe the other ones just had regular jobs, but the rich folk had the plantations, and you know they hired some of the good white folk to be overseers and all that kind of shit. The bottom line was, it was set up from that point, same way that the Indians were slaughtered and put on reservations. Everybody was put into this box, assigned these roles, but whites were told that they was better than all the rest of them because they looked like master, and master was the cabal. That's the ones that's really controlling. So they got the money, they making all the rules and all this stuff. They got the white people as buffers, and they make them the little supervisors. Tell those niggas to do this and that. You look like me, and we the good people, and those black people, those Indians, they niggas and Indians and dummies and all this stuff. So it's a setup. It's a game. This is a construct. So forever after that time, we still living that stuff out. You know, we got to go through lynchings and killings and all this stuff, and white people trying to defend why they get a little better treatment or a different kind of justice and all that stuff, because you was assigned that role. You know, that master, that cabalist who's really running stuff is white like you are. You know, you ain't getting nothing. You still working all day in the fields and shit. Got a red neck, Mr. Redneck. Because you're out in the fields all day and shit, you just got a little bit more. He lets you have a little bit better house, let you eat a little better, you know, let you be free to roam around. All you got to do is keep hating black folk. That's the game. And for us black folk, we stuck in being mad about this mistreatment. And we should be. Damn it, you know, anybody going to be mad about being mistreated, but you got to be smarter than that. You got to understand what this game is. So instead of just being bitter and mad and I'm going to get somebody or something, you got to figure out how you're going to get out of this shit. And once you understand the game, you just, look, I'm a man. The hell with this stuff. I'm going to stand up for mine. I ain't going to do no dirt. I ain't going to give these devils a reason to come at me. Follow the law, but as long as I'm doing right, then what they going to have against me? Stay out of trouble, you know, don't hang around in these bad areas where all this kind of crap's going on. Try to do something with your life and all this kind of stuff. So, yeah, we got problems, but shit, it's been designed that way. You know, they don't give you, I talked about injustice in the judicial system. Hell, it was illegal for us to learn how to read and write for hundreds of years. Yeah, I know it's a new day and all that kind of stuff, but that shit carried over. Your mama's mama taught your mama, the mama taught you, you know. So we got a lot of, and then the media and everything is always throwing this stuff at you. They pump up the hip hoppers with the booty shaking and all this stuff, but they don't want to talk about somebody that got some sense. So, you know, we got a lot that we kind of combat. We need to work on ourselves. If you know better, do better. And don't hang around the knuckleheads. And if you get a chance, try to educate them. But as long as you take care of yourself and take care of those around you, you'll be all right. So that's where I'm coming from. I'm going to let you respond, and I got this other caller, too. Go ahead. I'm sorry, 7201. What's your name again?
Lene,
yeah. Sorry about that, but go ahead.
Okay, I agree 100% with what you're saying about, like, you know, I agree with what you're saying. I think that it is still a race issue, though, because in order for us to even, like, eliminate the issues that we're having as a community, it would take, like, a mass awakening to get everybody to understand what's going on and everything like that. So it is a race issue. But I do, like, you were talking about some guy, the white guy that went to the black college to speak. And I mean, who knows what they said behind closed doors, you know, like, I don't know what he said, but what he said, what you said he said was not a lie. It is going to take self-help. It is going to take people in our community to stand up. And like, I mean, I understand what you're saying about it being, like, a bigger issue than a race issue, and that's why, like, as a whole, like, the whole nation is still, you know, with bounded in shackles, however you want to put it, mental slaves, whatever. But, like, I think that, like, to a certain extent, even though it's wrong, that they do, like, kind of push it in the media really hard, but I think that it is a race issue. You know what I mean? Like, I think that there's still too much fact behind their statements. That's why they can still put it out.
Look, all
but
of
I think
this
that
fine,
it is an issue.
But the bottom
like,
line is with us, we need to not be looking at somebody else and we just take care of ourselves. I don't think they should have invited them to that thing or allowed them to come. We don't need some white Republican coming to our black college telling us about what's going on. If he want to talk with the black group or something, let him get with some of the like the head of that college and the head of that business and the head of them and sit in a room somewhere without the cameras and they can talk about what's going on. But we don't need him coming to the black college talking with all the students. This is what needs to happen, and I'm here to tell you. Screw that. Go pick your own stuff.
I mean,
he supported Mitt Romney.
That is true.
Mitt Romney ain't crap. So, you know, the hell with all that stuff. That's what I mean, where we need to know better. You know, if we had some sense, we wouldn't allow that kind of ecstatic to go on and give them a form to where they can come off to be, you know, schooling us on it. You know, the hell with you. With him.
With us on the state of our community, right?
Yeah,
that is crap. But I do feel like, I mean, at the end of the day, though, like, it's seeming like more and more of our people are unwilling to even hear that message think it. And a lot of them are seeming to be incapable of understanding it or coming to that conclusion themselves, like, hey, what I'm doing is wrong or something's wrong. And
you
I feel like
gotta keep this in
the
mind.
Bigger picture is kind of ending
up
being
you got to keep this in mind. This whole country is screwed up. Everybody's going down. White folks going down as much as anybody. They got out of birth wedlocks like everybody, out of wedlock births like everybody else. Jerry Springer and all this kind of crap then brought all this stuff down. Yeah, we got our problems, but, you know, we got to fix that. You know, white folks ain't got to do nothing. They ain't got to stop you from having sex. You know, stop having sex. You know, if you ain't married, stop going out there and wilding. You know, stop hanging out at the clubs. How about picking up a book or going to school or something? That ain't got nothing to do with white folks. And that's what we need to be telling ourselves. What about our black preachers? Black people go to church more than anybody else. How come the black preacher ain't preaching that stuff? So that's on us. You know, forget white folks. They ain't got nothing to do with us. You know, just tell them to stay out of our business and don't be mistreating us and all this kind of stuff. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't. I understand what you're saying, where we got our issues and all this stuff, but that's for us to take care of. All we need is for them to leave us the hell alone, and all they need is for us to not attack them.
True,
or come, like hateful and stuff. Just treat people as people. That's all it
true.
Is. Hey,
it
hey
is
but
true.
I can take another
and
call.
I was just saying it from my standpoint as a black woman.
No,
but, okay.
I totally appreciate what you're saying, and I don't have any problem with it. I'm glad you brought that out, and I really, I mean.
One more thing I wanted to say real quick is, like, I know you were talking about statistics. I don't have other statistics, but I do worry about my people, and I heard the statistic that, you know, there's 2 times more black women than there are black men, there's. The black women and black men are not an equal ratio. There's more women than men, but there's twice as many women with kids as there are men with kids, which just goes to show, like, just the state of our community. I just wanted to say that because you were saying something about statistics, but it's another long, drawn-out conversation. But thank you for your time.
No, hey, yeah, and thanks for calling. I appreciate that. You know, I appreciate it. if you hang on at some point here, I'm going to go back down the line and bring everybody back up. So, you know, it's up to you. But I appreciate the call. Thanks for calling. And let me get this caller that Skype caller. I know you were waiting for a while. Are you there, Skype caller? I think it's Skype caller. Hello?
Yeah. Hi,
yeah.
DC.
Hey, what's going on?
Yeah, man? I just wanted to let you know. This is B. Yeah, I just, you know, since they did all this smart meter stuff, I'm serious. My connections have been really bad. There's all kind of weird things happening, so I have to reconnect. So anyway, I just want to let you know that I appreciate you on the line because I'm not in chat and I can't say that, so I really appreciate it. And I'm glad for the diversity. I'm glad to hear the diversity that's out, you know, that's calling in this evening. I mean, I'm in this metro D.C. area, and I can tell you just what you said was a lot of what commentary and news people are saying as far as this person going to
Howard
University.
Yeah,
and all of that. And I thought, again, when he made the thing, oh, well, yeah, these are intelligent people. Well, what would he expect? That
you had a college, stupid.
You know, you know, I mean, right, what would you expect? I mean, if you went to an all basically primarily Caucasian school, would you say, oh, well, wow, really intelligent people? I mean, you know, it would be all right if you direct that to everyone consistently.
Right, if you say that
to everyone, and I think that's what, you know, she was saying. We know, I mean, and you have addressed the issues. I don't know if the last caller is new or had, you know, have she listened in on this, on your channel. But the thing is, you have addressed all these issues. We know it. It's like,
right,
I keep telling my family members, the young ones that are teenagers, yes, we know about the white is right and black is, you know,
brown and black,
get back, and yellow is mellow and all. You know, that's been going on for, you know, when are we going to progress beyond that?
Right,
and then
right.
I go even further. You live on this earth like I do. You inhabit it. So unless you're living in a different earth, you know, if radiation is killing us, is it just affecting you or me, just me?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. It's affecting humanity, nature, and everything else. So we all have, you know, some part to play. And I tell people, you know, just be part of the solution wherever you're at. If you see that there's something wrong or, you know, black people there, then be part of that solution.
Right.
Even if you just set an example, a lot of times it's not
exactly
by saying anything, it's by living it. It's just by, you know, that's why I can, you know, people come up, whether they're Caucasian or whatever, they come to me, even if it's my hair, I have very, very long locks, well beyond my, almost my knees, and that brings in people, and if that opens up dialogue, then that's fine. You know, someone comes to me and starts speaking Espanol because someone, you know, I may look like that, and they think, oh, she speaks Spanish. They can assume. So I don't get, you know, I don't get this attitude. I consider it the opportunity to open dialogue so that we can communicate one-on-one.
Right.
And that's how I look at life, is that we should learn to take whatever situation we're in, no matter what it is, and turn it, you know, to a dialogue. Because, as you said, we have all been brainwashed. We have all been, you know, taught, even whether it was well-meaning or not well-meaning,
right,
we have been brainwashed. It is our duty to have this journey to find out what this life has to offer to people. That's what
right
it's about, whether it's health or whatever it is. What, you know, living, like, I don't know if it was senior or who called in and said that, you know, they had found a way. I'm not sure if it was him, so don't, you know, quote me.
Right.
But, you know, they got a double wide or whatever, and they're not,
yeah.
they've learned to live well beyond their
yeah.
means and doing quite well. That's all of that. We have to all look
there you
at
go.
Everything.
And that's
food,
it.
You know, guard everything, health. You know, you don't want radiation. So, no, we can't get rid of all of it, but we can at least do what we can once we're aware of it to reduce
right.
it. That's all
right.
I'm telling people, just
right.
reduce it. Okay, well, you take care, and I'm going to try to hold on. I'll be, you know, clicking in
right
and
on.
Out, you know, as I get dropped off. But thank you so much, ABC. I really appreciate your show. You don't know the impact that you have. You really, I tell you, it's just really a blessing.
Hey,
so,
I sure appreciate
thank you so
this.
Much.
Yeah, thanks
well,
a lot.
Well, I do. I mean,
yeah, that's all right. That's. I mean, I appreciate hearing that. You know, sometimes you kind of wonder if people are actually listening. I mean, you know, you see that people are on there, but you don't know. And I got this other caller. I'm coming to you there, caller. Well, let me just go straight to him. Hold on a second. 347, you there?
Yes, I'm here. How are you?
All right. How you doing?
Good. Very good show. Just wanted to say that the skin color issue is a tool that the system uses, just like the system uses sexism, the system uses nationalism. And so in this system, these tools unfortunately oppress and cause the death and pain of people. So it's not a tool like a hammer where you say, hey, just don't use the hammer. The skin color issue leads to people not getting jobs and ending up in jail and being shot by
right.
rogue police officers. But if we trace humanity, we see that we're all from Africa. But, of course, many people don't want to admit that because from a religious perspective, Abrahamic religions are built on sexism and racism traditionally, not all, but mostly. So they put down darker people, they put down women, and, of course, the biggest supporters of Abrahamic religions are the oppressed people, black, brown, and women. I mean, it's unbelievably preposterous when you think about it. So what we have to get to as a humanity, as a society, is back to respect for Africa and for native things, not to say at the exclusion of Europe, but how can you ignore your parents, your heritage, Africa? Until we get a core focus on Africa, humanity really cannot evolve beyond the level that we're going now, which is really nowhere. No matter how advanced our technology is, we're destroying the planet. And like one of your callers said, we have to share the water and the other resources. So if it's polluted, just like if whether you're green, white, or blue, you're going to, you know, have rocket fuel in your body, which we all have right now. But we have a long way to go. I do think we can do it, but it's going to take a lot of work because it's a mind game right now, I think.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting what you say. I understand it. I kind of agree with it. I mean, I think that I've heard this before, that the analogy, but I believe that it's true. If you don't respect your parents, then, you know, I mean, in essence, you don't respect yourself. But also, it's kind of like that thing, the karma, what goes around, come around. I mean, this is where you come from. How can you, you know, disrespect your parents? And I'm talking literally your mother, your father, this kind of thing. Anybody that would do that is, you know, you twisted and something is wrong with your spirit, you know, to disrespect that which you came from. And that's literally the parents. Now, to your point, you know, you said all of humanity has come out of the cradle of Africa. So to disrespect that place, I believe that there is an analogy there, and I believe there's something to that. My own self, I hesitate, and I probably wouldn't even go there as far as the discussion, because I think it's too much for people. And here's my thing. You know, I talked about it briefly there with the other caller, but I very much believe that all of us have been programmed and conditioned, and I will say dumbed down, to where, you know, we can't take too much intellect. Too much intellectual discussion, and that sounds kind of presumptive or arrogant or something, like as if I'm so much better. And I don't mean it like that. I just mean literally. I see the TV. I hear people talking on the shows. You know, I'm out in the world. Look at the state of affairs right now. I mean, we're fighting this fake war. We're in debt for trillions and trillions. We're at the same time we're giving away money to for foreign aid. We're fighting a war on terror, but we won't defend the borders. I mean, this stuff don't add up. We can't see that. We're not making a issue of that, but we will make an issue about, hey, that guy's a Muslim or something like this. I guess what I'm saying is, I think it's a bridge too far to try to make that connection or explain that. I think it's kind of the chances of success are better if I talk to people about, look, don't you love freedom? You know, don't you understand that you want to be treated fairly? And how can you treat somebody else unfairly if you want to be treated fairly? You know, you're a hypocrite and a liar and an evil devil if you say you do, you know, want to treat this person differently, but you want this, you know, to hell with you, to screw you, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to preach that kind of communication, because I think to talk about, well, we all come from the cradle of civilization, and when we disrespect that, that's like disrespecting our parents. And honestly, I think that a lot of people are too, you know, it's too ingrained with the racism. Well, I come from Europe. My parents came from Ireland, and, you know, why I got to be talking about Africa, you know, this kind of thing. I think that starts that whole other discussion, and now we're back into the, well, this versus that and all that kind of, that's just personally my opinion, but I do understand what you're saying, though.
But if you tell someone, if you take your perspective and say, look, we all, you know, if you want to be respected, blah, blah, racist will not and sexist will not care. So the strategy that has been used for thousands of years has been, ever since Europe became a power, to vilify the regions that the European royal families wanted to conquer, whether that was we call South America, Central America. And how they did that was to make the natives seem like savages, both in some of the holy books and in some of the other edicts and doctrines that they propagated. So the only way to reverse that is to help people know that the first person to write about one God was Ramses II of Egypt, so that people know that the first depiction of Jesus Christ, which came out of Ethiopia, Coptic Ethiopia, was actually a black man with his disciples around him. Once we teach the truth to people, it kind of breaks down the walls of ignorance and racism, and people realize, oh my goodness, all this stuff we're learning is actually not true. Then it leads to an empowerment. To tell a racist, that, you know, we got to share the water, that only makes sense to rational people. If a person sees me as a monkey because I have brown skin, they're going to look at me like, Negro, please, do we care about you? We don't care about you. We don't care if you live or die and you and your kids. So I think it's really a mind game. We've got to re-educate people. Otherwise, talking to them the way you and I are talking, they'll get nowhere because they see us as just monkeys.
That's an interesting point. I mean, I totally understand where you're coming from, and I think there's some truth to that. I guess what I would say is that the dialogue that I have had, I've been doing this show for close to 2 years. And besides that, you know, probably like you, you know, I've bounced around and checked out shows here and there, and I've called in here and there. And you know, you kind of observe the conversation and the discussion. I believe that the state of the union, the state of America right now, and this war on terror has woken a lot of people up. You know, those things alone, where we got this Patriot Act, the NDAA, and being groped and all this kind of stuff. The war has been going on so long. And then, as I said, you know, you've got my show and shows like this, other shows that are out here talking about, you know, the GMO foods. You got shows that are talking about how 911 is a lie, and here's the different stuff. And Sandy Hook is a, you know, all these inconsistencies. There's enough people that, you know, they notice something's wrong. They just can't put it all together. And then they hear this information and they're questioning all this stuff. And they're starting to kind of question the stuff that they've been taught. And I'm kind of riding that wave, trying to, you know, okay, right, you're right. You're right to question. Now check this out. You know, that kind of thing. So I don't know, you know, I mean, your point, maybe that's one way to go. What I was saying, I think, is that I think that's like too jarring or too radical. You know, they're on a wave and they're starting to kind of see that, hey, this stuff doesn't add up, and they're questioning and they're starting to think for themselves and they're starting to look into it. And then if you say, okay, it all goes back to Africa, then they're like, here we go with that. Sounds like Farrakhan or something, you know, or whatever they think.
Yeah,
when,
by the way, my name is Hotep Kenyatta. And I want to say that you're assuming that other people will take that position. And what I'm suggesting is that not everyone takes the position that you may be assuming. The truth is there. And Africa is not radical. It is not Farrakhan. It's beyond Farrakhan and beyond Obama and beyond Bush. Africa is everything. So if we think that that makes saying that we're all African makes people think it's radical, that's very really making a big logical leap, because I speak to folks of different ethnicities and it's rare that anyone would say that. I don't think that's going to be a problem because it's,
you know,
the truth.
I don't know how I communicated it. It's not like I think that people will start, you know, running in the other direction, but I think that generally speaking, I think that particularly many white folks will be dismissive of that. And they'll just say, okay, here's another black guy that's, you know, his God is black. And yeah, we've heard it before. Yeah, Jesus, yeah, blah, whatever. And you know, they just won't accept it. That's just my take on it. You know, I may be wrong.
Yeah, I agree. Some people will, obviously, because even some brown and black folks are and will resist
that
message. So it won't reach everyone. But the point is that with enough re-education and reprogramming, what happens is whether it's a month or 3, 4, 10 years, in fact, I have a friend that recently came around. It took about 20 years. And this is one of my elders, a relative, and he finally got on board with this understanding. It took about 20 years. Can you believe that? So I'm not thinking it'll be overnight, but what I'm saying is the truth has to continually be put out there from K-12 into the university sections, into the prisons, into the churches, the mosques, the synagogues. Just like we preach about, you know, ending pollution, we should make this a fundamental part of curriculum and lesson plans and corporate agendas, that Africa is the cradle of civilization, so we take the white Jesus off the people's mantles and we take the KKK and send them back to their trailer park and we put Africa back where it should be. Now, it doesn't mean it's a form of oppressing another group, because the other group, the lighter-skinned Caucasians, are still our children, but we got to reverse this trend that we are the monkeys and the sheep and the scapegoats and realize that we are the cradle of civilization. So we can do it, and, you know, don't give up hope.
Well, you know, it's interesting, man. I don't know. I'm thinking, you know, at some point I would maybe want to discuss with you, you know, if I had you on as a guest, we could spend more time just going on this, because I think I see what you're saying, and I think there's some value in that. I guess I'm just thinking that I don't have enough faith in humanity. I think that between the power that these devils have, this cabal, I mean, they own the media, which is our reality for lack of a better term. So, I mean, people live and die by whatever we're told in the media. Between that and the school system, the education system, your peers who are dumb as hell, most of them, you know, I think it's just a lot to try to, you know, get real or go into the deep history. You know, people need baby steps is what I'm thinking, bottom line. And regardless, wherever we end up, as long as we're stuck on truth and freedom, then we're going to get to where we need to go. You know, and so if we first understand that, look, you know, the media is telling you all this stuff, evil Muslims, that's BS. If we can get past that, we can get past this war on terror is BS. And we can understand that the government is playing us and you know, these supposed sting operations, which is really the government setting stuff up. Once we understand, hey, wait a minute, all of this stuff is a lie. Everything's a freaking lie. Now, you know, that's opened up everything. Okay, we can get rid of the garbage and we can start thinking for ourselves. And then, you know, we can see reality and whatever reality is what it is. You know, the truth is the truth, and it'll
shine.
Yeah,
it is. Can I give you for 5 seconds my spin on nationalism is really when people say to you and I, America this or Europe that, what really we haven't taken into account is that all these regions are hijacked by elite families and secret societies. So
that's
they
the cabal,
just use
man.
A flag. Yeah, they use a flag and a national anthem, and they have us all fighting and arguing. Meanwhile,
right. They
all do business together. The
right.
Chinese elite with the Arabian elite, with the African elite, with the European elite, with the Jamaican elite, but we fight over a flag.
So that's my point, man.
We fight over a religion, you know?
that's what it is. That's why I keep calling it a cabal. They got everybody in there. They got some blacks, they got whites, they got Chinese. It's just these elite families and their flunkies. That do their bidding, you know, that want to be in the in crowd, you know. If you do what I tell you here, you know, you'll get some money. I'll
get some
girls and all that kind of
stuff. Chicken and
That's all it is.
I know. But sadly, at the end of the day, children are dying and young kids are going off to wars over this craziness. It's unbelievable that humanity can't say, wait a minute, we're not getting anything out of this. Only about 0.00001% is benefiting. We're getting the crumbs. And I think that once we continue, I'm serious, we're going to get to that point where more people will become galvanized and get active, not just talking about Africa, because that's the cradle, but also talking about the environment and about education and get rid of the cabal and the New World Order. We can do it, man. It's 2013. We got to do it. Got to do it.
I think we're heading in that direction, man. Hey, look, I got to go and take this break. Hey, I really appreciate you. I don't know if you're on Facebook, but
I'm Kenyatta.
Okay, and I'm Alphabet Freedomizer on Facebook. I'll look you up. Look me up, and I'll friend you, and we'll talk, and maybe I can get you on as a guest for one of these shows, and we can spend more time just kind of talking out some stuff.
Okay, thank you, brother. Have a great day.
All right, you too. Man, that was a good call. It came out of the blue. I like that, though. That was all right. Hey, I need to take this break. Last break and last chance for calls. What I'll do when I come back, whoever's on the line, I'll just kind of run down and give you guys a last chance to make a comment or anything. And we'll go ahead and close out the show. But it's been pretty good. I really enjoy you guys' input and your insights. So hopefully I'll get a couple more. Let me take this last break, and we'll be right back.
Hello, everyone. Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now, as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house, and Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants. I just love the taste of it, and this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic, great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com, and check it out and order it. Silver Leaf Tea.
Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life. Shade Motion Picture. A view into the globalist domain and Bellas and Burma's film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
You have to stand up. Speak up. Speak out.
Shade the Motion Picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at ShadeTheMotionPicture.com.
Join me, Valerie Ann, on the Truth Exposition Show at Freedomizer Radio in exposing the truth about FEMA camps, drone surveillance, martial law, the New World Order, our threatened freedoms and civil liberties, and for weekly news and current events. Mainstream media continues with its lies and deceit to fulfill the agenda of the New World Order. So please join me in exposing the truth, along with the lies and the deceptions that are being fed to the American people. The people of the United States have a voice. and your voice will be heard through Freedomizer Radio.
Back, and I got like 25 minutes left. I'm going to come to the callers. And callers, you know, I have a number of people online, and just a couple of them have their hand up. You have to press 1 if you want to make a comment. So I just wanted to make sure, so the other callers that are on the line, if you have a comment, you have to press 1, and then I'll see a hand will go up is what it is. But before I go to calls, I wanted to kind of comment on something because I have this link that I want to give you guys. And, you know, off the top, it would seem to go against what I've been talking about here. In particular, the subject being race and how it's a tool that's used to have us, to divide us and keep us going at each other. And then I mentioned that there's other tools too. Religion is a big one. You know, nationalism. Hotep Kenyatta, I think his name was. He mentioned those too. I think that many of us understand that these are tools that these people are using. There's something I have to say about all this, though, and it kind of goes to, like, the one caller, I forget her name, the lady that called and said, hey, I think that race is an issue, though. You know, we have these problems in the community and all that kind of stuff. It's possible for both of these things to exist at the same time. You know, and one of the debates or discussions or arguments that I've had with people is to kind of communicate that, look, you're being played. You know, you're spending your time engaged and hooked on this issue of race, and you know, you're finding all these problems with black people, and that's leading you down this blind alley when the world is going on out here. That's the one hand. On the other hand, because or the way that race is being used, people are really being affected. People are dying because of how they're using this issue. So what do we do about that? I mean, how do we respond to that? That people are being mistreated. People are dying. People are going to jail for much of their lives because they're a pawn in this little game of division and manipulation, and it's got you upset and all this stuff. They're just a pawn in the big scheme of things. But the bottom line is people are hurting. Families are being destroyed from this stuff. So how do we respond to that? And the point is that, you know, we have to recognize that this is a tool that's being used to divide us and stuff. But that doesn't mean ignore the injustices. And that's what I was getting at before, talking about the injustice, when injustice happens and crime and stuff. We can't ignore that. Well, this is they're trying to use this to divide us. Well, hell, you know, somebody's life is being screwed up. We need to address it. If it's unfair, say it's unfair. You know, and vice versa. If it's a black guy that's out serial killer and he's, you know, they got all the evidence and he's killing everybody, black folk don't stand up. Well, leave him alone. What the hell you mean? Why are you wasting capital on defending a criminal or somebody that's going around killing people? You know, so that's for everybody. Having said that, I oftentimes, in this article I have, is something I'm going to give to you guys. I oftentimes talk about Israel as being like a linchpin to this New World Order. And as far as that goes, Zionism. So, you know, if you talk about Israel, you talk about Zionism, then the whole Jewish thing comes up. And I've been accused of, you know, he's always going after Jews or anti-Semite and all that kind of stuff. It ain't about that. I don't hate nobody. But what I do see is that this country is a slave to Israel, a slave to AIPAC, and that we will talk crap. Whites will talk crap about blacks, and blacks talk crap about whites. And we'll do that all on TV and national debate, and we'll call in the shows, and we go back and forth and all this stuff. But if you say something about a country, Israel, universally, people come down on you, because part of that training of you hating and having division, there's also that training in there that's no matter what, you never talk bad about Israel. No matter what, you never talk bad about Jews. This kind of thing. And we need to be able to get beyond that. Why is this important? Because what I'm saying is that the whole Zionism, Israel, Jewish thing is a Trojan horse. Just like race is used to manipulate you and keep you under control, this Zionism, Judaism, which is not a race, it's a religion. And I don't need to say it's a religion. And I'm sorry, I ain't trying to attack or offend anybody's religion. But to be clear on this, and the point that I'm making and why I'm kind of commenting on this, is because this is like a philosophy, this Israel thing, this AIPAC, the Zionism thing. It's like a secret society. But it masks itself as a religion. And then the Holocaust happened. So everybody has been conditioned to program, don't look into this too much. All you need to know is never criticize, never look too deeply, and show deference. That's the Trojan horse, religion and persecution. The reason this is important is because we're fighting these wars because Israel wants us to fight these wars. The whole race relations and all this kind of stuff, you know, affirmative action and Voting Rights Act and all this kind of stuff, is pumped up as blacks are being persecuted. But, you know, we ain't getting nothing out of this. We're still being persecuted. But what has come on the heels of that is anything against, if you say something against a Jewish person, anti-Semitism. If you say something against Israel, anti-Semitism. My point is that there's an article there that I dropped in there. It's by this Jewish guy who they can't stand, Gilad Asman. And he talks about it. It's called Controlled Opposition. But he explains how Israel is used as a wedge to control us, basically. As I said earlier, you know, I kind of prefaced this by saying, I know I was talking about, hey, race is a tool and don't get caught in a trap and all this kind of stuff. And that is the fact. At the same time, we need to understand that the cabal will use, just like they use race to divide us and stuff, and religion to divide us and stuff, they'll also use this stuff as a Trojan horse to get into a position and then do their dirt. And another perfect example of this is Barack Obama. He's a Trojan horse. He's a black face, and he's doing all the dirt that these devils want to do. Barack Obama, Trojan horse. Israel, Trojan horse. So let me come down the line here. I just got 15 minutes, so I'm just going to give you guys, if you got a comment or anything, make a statement. We won't go too long, but I got a few calls here. So 347, the first 347. I think that's regular girl. You there? And it's fun. Going once, going twice. Let me get to the next call. 720, I think that's, I forget your name, Lene. Is that you?
Yeah, I was actually just listening at this point. I had something to say. I'm sorry, but I don't know.
No, that's okay.
But I do believe, I agree with everything that you're saying, and I'm gaining new knowledge, so I just want to listen.
Hey, look, thanks a lot for the call. I'm here every Friday at this time. I hope you'll call back in. Did you have a chance to hear the other guy that called in, Hotep, I think Kiana?
Yeah, he was awesome.
Yeah, he was kind of heavy, too. But I appreciate you calling, and I appreciate you bringing that up, that, hey, we got some issues we got to work on in our community. We do. We absolutely do.
Yeah, there definitely are issues. And I heard you saying, like, what can we do to address those issues? And, like, honestly, I think to address the issues, I don't know, while you guys are talking, I was imagining myself just going to the parking lot and starting to talk to these young kids that I see going crazy every day.
There you go.
Asking what they think and what they stand for and try and give them direction. Then I was like, man,
right.
I might get robbed for my bullhorn.
Hey, that's all right. You know, you know what's a trip is, I think in our heads, we create like this whole other world, this, well, it's our imagination, where we see things as like overwhelming and, you know, so I have this one buddy on Blog Talk that I met, this black guy, and he's a Muslim, but he has his own business. He's doing well, too. On YouTube, he's called Muhammad, but he talks about how, and he's just speaking to everybody. But he says in business, you know, we built this whole thing up where, you know, well, I got to take out a loan and, you know, I need to rent a place. I got to have a place to start my business. And, you know, I need to buy so much of products and, I, you know, it's going to cost tens of thousands or something to start a business. And he's like, man, that's your imagination. It ain't got to take all of that. You can start with $100, you know, figure out what you can do with the money that you got. And you ain't got to have a big place and all this kind of stuff.
My dad owned a successful company that for 10 plus years until he decided to sell it, like cash out. But like he owned a successful company that he started with $500.
Wow.
And it sustained our whole family, not just my family. Like he took care of me and my brother, and then he had a wife who had two kids that weren't his, and he took care of all of us.
There you go.
It all started with $500.
And what it is looking at, well, it's getting rid of the programming. You know, they programmed us with, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to have a degree, you got to do that and all stuff. It's the same way with this thing with the race and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's like in our head that, well, I got to figure out a plan to save the whole black population or something. You know, it ain't got to, I mean, that's
save the whole population.
How about just going down the street? How about talking to your black neighbor and like, hey, man, you know, your kid is kind of acting up.
Yeah.
Or talking with the kids, like, hey, how you doing? How you doing at school? Well, you know you shouldn't be doing, you know, one step at a time.
You know what I do is I just, like, when I see especially young kids, like, under the age of 10, every time I see them walking around, I just be like, what do you stand for? And I was like, it better be something good. You better not tell me PlayStation or something.
There you go.
Like, just start getting them to think about it so that when they get older, they can start getting there.
Right on. That's all right. Well, hey, look, thanks a lot. I really appreciate you calling in tonight.
All right. I appreciate your show, and I will tune in again. So
yeah,
I'll talk to you later.
All right. And Skype caller, I think this might be B.
I appreciate, you know, the young lady that just spoke. You know, what I would say is that mentoring, not everybody is great with everything. So those that are in business and know how to do that, then why are they not, you know, that was always my question, why are they not reaching out to those that want to do that? I mean, I know that, you know, being in the medical field, people say, oh, you can make a lot of money by the knowledge you have. But my thing is that, you know, I just share. You know, I know how to do business as far as me. In other words, I live within my income, but as far as being a business person, I'm not. So that's the thing is that, just because you're doing well in one area doesn't mean that everybody does well. But if you have something you can offer, why not do an exchange? Why not do, you know, some helping? I mean, I personally have land that I would love to share with, you know, help young people. But I don't know how to build houses, and I don't know how to do that, and there's no mortgage. And it's unfortunate that I can't find anyone that is willing to say, oh, I care enough about the young people that I'm willing to take this time to help. I mean, you know the health part. The other thing that I want to say is piercing the illusion. I don't know, a lot of people may have read this book. It was given to me by a friend, well, you know, loaned. And I've known a lot of the issues it deals with, to me, feeding the beast. That as long as you're going to feed the beast, then you can expect the beast to get fat. But if you stop feeding the beast and start, you know, feeding those that show that they want to do better and help, then things would be better. So, again, Piercing the Illusion by John Baptist Comer, K-O-T-M-A-R, Jr., deals with this system. I mean, as long as you're feeding it, then you can expect it. You know, you hit your head against the wall, brick wall, then expect to get injured. If you keep doing it that way, expect the same results. Maybe try something different. But for all these people out here saying, well, do this, do that, you know, get a mentor, you know, I mean, I'm so great in business, then why are you not out helping people that want to do that, maybe are not looking to get rich? Because I'm not a materialistic person. I am one that believes in health.
Right.
Why are you not looking, you know, for that? I mean, every day you can certainly find them, because there's plenty of us out there, and there's enough to go around that we could all help one another.
Right on. Hey, good comment. I'm with you. Hey, look, thanks a lot for calling in, B.
Okay, take care.
All right, you too. Wow, you know, it's been some good callers and some good calls. You know, I appreciate you guys calling in. I have to say, it's that kind of stuff that gives me some hope. And when I talk about it, I think we're evolving. The calls are kind of representative of that, I think. You know, I guess just to kind of come back to my point on this is that, you know, we need to keep in mind, number one, the President of the United States was hired. You don't know anything about his background. His birth certificate is all iffy and stuff, you know. White mama, black daddy, African. He went back to Africa. Was he, how long did he stay in the States? Was they married? They wouldn't marry. You know, it's all messed up. You know, growing up with the grandparents and Uncle Frank. The guy's got the weirdest background that ever existed. And like Jesus, he disappears for years and then reappears at some college. Come on, man. This is fantasy. This guy was somewhere being groomed and programmed and this and that, and all of a sudden he shows up. He's reading from a teleprompter the whole time. And I'm saying all of that to say that, like I have said, he was selected because he's black. He follows orders and he can speak well. So it looks, you know, it looks like he actually might be worth, you know, he gets a Nobel Peace Prize 2 days after he takes the presidency. I don't know. It was like a few months or something, but it's just all so ridiculous. He was hired because of his race. Why? Because that keeps the racists excited and mad and angry. It gets all the blacks defending them no matter what. We all going to stay going at each other. That's the race issue in summary. And then everything that goes with it. The different news stories that pop up. White people too angry, blacks too happy, or vice versa. Blacks too angry, whites too happy. You know, white people quit defending this stupid shit. And black people don't defend some guy out there pushing drugs and all this stuff. You know, look, the judicial system in this country is racist. It ain't fair. You know, the people that are administering it need to be in jail. So it's all screwed up. But you can't throw your lot behind some guy that's out there been killing people and shit. You know, what it does is these devils in the media will take that and highlight that. See, look at these blacks. They defending that guy. He killed a bunch of people. So it discredits the whole argument about how unfair the judicial system is. You know, all I'm saying with all of this is that it's all manipulation and chess pieces that keep us going at each other. And, you know, I had the discussion, the debate kind of earlier with Hotep Kenyatta, I think his name was, but he was saying how, you know, we need to kind of get back to the roots and understand that this came from Africa. And it's basically, you know, if people learn to respect where we all came from, then there'll be more respect for the various peoples and races and cultures and stuff. And I think that there's a decent argument. I hate to say it, but I just think that people are too stupid, and what they can't understand is that, you know, respect life, respect people, respect freedom, and understand that we're headed towards a police state. And you helping make that happen when you out there demonizing other people and promoting this war on terror and all that kind of stuff. So it looks like there's one more call. Let me see if... next caller is there. You there, Skype caller?
Yeah, am I on?
Yes, sir.
Amen. You know, I just did tune in, but I'm listening to your reasoning, and it sounds right on. You know, bottom line to all these racial tensions, the root, I believe, is evolutionary teachings that is prevalent in all society, in the education system. It's evolution is the root of it. If you take out evolution, we're all of one blood. My brother, we're all of one blood.
That's interesting that you say that. I have to say, you know, I used to, well, when I was younger, I guess, I believed or bought into the evolution thing, but I don't anymore. It's been a while since, you know, basically when I got older. What my position is it's kind of a mixture. You know, I think that creation, I don't know how it started, but once it got started, I think there is something to, evolving, and there's an evolution that occurs, but I don't believe we came from an amoeba in some water somewhere or a fish.
Right.
You know,
well,
I think there's something
far, you know, you take it back far enough and we all came from a rock.
Right. You know, and honestly, I just kind of leave that open. Like, look, I don't know all the answers. I honestly ain't trying to find out all the answers. What I do believe and I understand is that there's more to me than this shell that's here. You know, I mean, I'm comfortable and proud of who I am and where I came from and all this stuff. But this spirit, this soul in me is who I am. And, you know, I can be anywhere and be with anybody and do anything. I don't like this and I do like that. I like what I like. I don't like what I don't like. And I don't apologize for it. I ain't hateful. I am who I am, like Popeye said.
Yeah.
Right on. Hey, look, thanks a lot for the call, buddy. I'm sorry we're down at the last minute of the show. I wish you'd have got us earlier, but every Friday from 8 p.m. Central to 11, 3 hours we're here.
All right, very good. I'll try and catch you next week.
All right, thanks a lot, buddy.
All right, shalom.
All right, everybody, I'm down to like the last few seconds here, so... thank everybody for the calls and thank you guys for tuning in. You know, I kind of wanted to get that off my chest with the whole race thing. And I'm going to just say this last time out. And I know it sounds kind of offensive, but listen. We got niggas out there that are telling you that everything is black people's fault and defending white people and all this kind of stuff. They're hurting you, white folk, because they make you comfortable in your hatred and racism. We got crackers out there that just hate black folk. And they can't, whatever it is, well, something wrong. He did it. They just hate black folk is all it is. We need to get rid of niggas and crackers. Then all the rest of us will be all right. Everybody have a good night. Stay tuned for the next show that comes up.
People.
And we'll see you guys next Friday.
Debunked 9/11 myth in your mind, you're in trouble.
On the line with us is Davin Coburn.
The term port is not a demolition term.
I'm sorry?
Since when is it not a demolition term? That's the only context I've heard it used in.
I've actually, we have never heard it used that way, and neither actually have the people who do this professionally that we...